This week, Microsoft's cloud grows larger as they announce a streaming service that lets you play Xbox games, joining the list of an ever-increasing number of services, past and present. That's just one story in another week of gaming news. Stay tuned for so much more starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back. It's another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. Orange Lounge Radio, episode number 748 for this, October the 14th of 2018. My name is Rob Roberts here in studio with you, and joining me as always, say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki.
Hi.
Hi. Okay, but Dark Sokka, or Jamie Summers, she is still off due to work conflicts. She'll be joining us a little later in the show for the classic game of the week. Before we went on air tonight, Loki, we were talking a little bit, reminiscing a bit about laser tag, which I know is one of your favorite things to discuss.
It is.
So, and the reason why this topic came up is that one of my buddies in Ingress mentioned that there's a new laser tag place that just opened up by, like, a lot of the crew here in Ingress will meet up at that restaurant. I can't remember the name. I shouldn't say on air either because I don't want to give away exactly where I live. But there's a restaurant thing. And there's a lot of portals there, slash Pokestop. So if you play that, that works too. So a lot of times we kind of meet up there to, you know, build them up for gear and eat, you know, and that whole stuff. So right around the corner or whatever from there is some new laser tag place. It's like two stories, the biggest one in Sacramento, I guess. And I was like, oh, this sounds up Loki's alley, actually. But you didn't know. You didn't know about this.
They're not Qzar though, and that's the only bad thing. Like I keep playing. Was it? I've been. My kids like going to play laser tag at Golfland in Roseville. So
that's too bad.
And it's Laser Runners. The system
have
that they have
changed
there.
That laser tag since like 97 when that place opened.
Guns have been updated because the old guns look like they used to be just like some piece of foam with like electrical tape wrapped around them. I like swear to God they were just electrical tape and just like a tiny
just
little thing.
Laser pointers. Surrounded with duct
and
tape.
I think they've added sensors to the guns too because like they used to be able to just like duck behind a wall and just keep your gun out and just shoot everybody because there's no sensors on the gun so you could just get away with that.
Now for the listeners that don't know, like you were like, I don't want to say you were pro with laser tag, but you were like if that was a thing that people streamed on Twitch, you would be like a well-known player, I would bet, anything at this point.
I've played over 2,000 games of Qzar.
That's amazing.
I got a job there just to play more Qzar. Briefly.
That's the life, though. But
there's lots of free games. It's minimum wage, but you got free games, and that more than paid
for. Yeah, who cares? Well, it's minimum wage, plus you aren't spending the money on the games. So did you have to be like the marshal that was protecting?
Yeah.
So what was like the craziest stupid thing that you ever saw go down in a game that you like had to like step in and go, sir, don't do that?
I don't remember anything really out like that's crazy. We did have to come in one time because they had rented the place out for a rave like the night before, and so like it was a mess. Like so, like we. Had
oh my
to
god! Did they keep the walls up for the maze and everything? They had a rave.
Yeah, they basically like everybody would pay to go in to play laser tag, but they wouldn't play laser tag because they're tripping on stuff and just like staring at the lights and the smoke. And so, apparently, I didn't get to actually see it because
you know, there was a cuddle puddle in the enemy base.
No, the cuddle puddle was actually in the what the hell? What game was that? It was
Because if y'all
what's the Atari game, the like the big one that you get to sit in like the cockpit and like it's vector tanks and stuff? What was
Battle Zone?
Yes, it was in Battle Zone.
The cuddle puddle was in your cockpit.
Was in Battle Zone. No, it wasn't Battle Zone. I'm sorry, we didn't have Battle Zone. We had T-Mech. It was T-Mech that they were.
Okay. I'm just. For those of you that like never been to a rave, like I went to a couple in college. Okay, those were the years. Like I was in college.
And Hard Driving, I believe Hard Driving had some action too.
There was a lot of people at raves that would be on, you know, substances like ecstasy that heightened a lot of senses. So it would be very common to see people just kind of like cuddling because that was, you know, that's what those things do to you. So that's what a cuddle puddle was basically. So anyway,
yeah. So T-Mac and Hard Driving.
So anyway, so this mess had gone on at the rave, and you guys were just like, WTF?
Yeah, we were a cleanup crew the next morning, so that kind of sucked. But thankfully, when we got there, most of the stuff had been done. It was just, you know, it was a mess.
Like having to sweep up all the cocaine was unfortunate, probably.
Yeah, so it was just, there wasn't anything really too crazy. Nothing that really stands out, so.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, we had a lot of times where the smoke set off the fire alarms. So that was, you know, usually
like the fake dry ice.
Yeah, the dry ice.
Yeah, I don't like that stuff.
Their fake smoke.
Like, I'm not like allergic to the fog machines or whatever, but I just like that when I inhale, like I'm sitting in a theater that uses it for a performance. I was like, ugh. Like, it's just like, but not.
I seriously miss it because that was like one of the best laser tag systems I've ever played with. They have some nearby, but they're not nearby.
I was going to say there's one in Concord because we were driving
Concord
to round one.
It's called Entertainment Zone there, but they have Kuzar there. And then there's one that's in Stars, which is a bowling alley in Vacaville. But both, I think the Concord one's kept up a little bit better. And they have a lot of music games and stuff there, so that's pretty cool. But it's like, that's a good hour and a half. Drive, you know, it's pretty long, long time to get there. And they have there's a ton of laser tag places nearby. It's just I haven't found one that's been good. You know, like,
I hear you.
Nothing to that level of Kuzar.
Let me say hi to our chatters, because of course we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern at the Voice of Geeks Network, vognetwork.com. That's vognetwork.com. And you can join us if you do happen to be listening live. Come on in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. Our pal Bobby Blackwolf, who's on before us, says, I knew the Marshall speech at Kuzar. I was an addict there. I actually gave the briefing a couple times.
Awesome. We should totally play. I don't know if they have any arenas left. There's not many left because Kuzar went under. I think they got bought back up. They're like in the UK now, but it's not like the original owners or anything. And there's not many around. They're not really producing new equipment, I don't think.
Well, you know why a lot of these type of places are coming back and entertainment places are becoming more and more popular is because things like Sears, Macy's, Kmart, these types of things are going under. And so it's like there's only so many types of things that can fill in that space. You see a lot of gyms. I know in my neck of the woods, gyms are very popular. In Southern California, like medical groups, large medical offices are going in a lot of places where grocery stores are. But like entertainment center, like that's how we're getting around one in Roseville.
The very first Kuzar that I played in was probably one of the coolest ones. And speaking about taking up places that used to have something else, my favorite one was in San Jose. It was near the Eastridge Mall, and it was underground because it was in an old like Jiffy Lube or something like that. So where their stock room that was underground was where the arena was. Because I remember we walked in there, I'm like, well, this building's not big enough to have an arena. Where the hell's the arena for this thing? And my friend's like, it's downstairs. I'm like, oh, there's a downstairs. And they actually had two arenas that were next to each other, when it was slow, they'd open the thing in the middle, and it would just be this super huge arena.
Oh, shit. That sounds fun.
So they had this like giant bunker in the middle, and good times.
Good times. That reminds me of it's the throwback episode of OLR. That reminds me of this miniature golf place we had in town called the Mineshaft. You got to remember that back from the heyday, right?
Yep.
Where it's kind of like you look at the golf course outside, and you're like, it looks big, but not that big, but it's because it started underground. And that's why they called it the mine shaft. You would go underground in the basement for like the first five holes, and it had that whole little like cave theme, and then you go upstairs and that's it. I think that place is like an RV shop now or something. It was a huge building.
Oh no, it's a haunted house right now. Because there's advertisements everywhere.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It is. Yeah.
Heart stoppers.
Yeah, yeah. That's I forgot it's the time of year for that. That's the other thing all those grocery stores turn into are the limited time Halloween shops.
Lots of miniature golf courses turning into haunted houses. There's also the one that was behind the old mall that we have over here where now it's like police storage / perpetual haunted house rundown piece of crap. You know.
But it's interesting how, you know, and this is something that's going to be I know this isn't directly about video games, but in a way it's still like the entertainment and everything. And because of the fact you're probably buying more of your video games online and you're going not necessarily just Amazon.com, but even using like Walmart.com or Best Buy.com. I think a lot of you are probably – or just buying your games digitally as a lot of people are doing. And I think because less people are going to, you know, places like Sears – I remember my Nintendo came from Sears. But, like, you don't think of Sears as a video game shop anymore, right? When I say my Nintendo, my NES back
your
in,
GameCube came from Circuit City.
Right? And these places don't really exist anymore, but, you know, these other types of shops. And it's only going to be even different in, like, 10 years. Like, it's in the headlines right now. Speaking of Sears, they're looking at bankruptcy protection, and they're going to probably close half their stores.
The one nearby me already closed down. It already went under.
Which is the one that I got my NES at when I was, like, 9 years old. crazy.
Yeah, just a big empty. That whole mall is just on borrowed time, to be honest. But
yeah, anyway, it's interesting. It's interesting to see how that all go. Anyway, going to chat at live.vognetwork.com. SG100 Matt points out there is a QSR in Long Island. Glow-in-the-dark mini golf places are also on the rise. Yeah, that's the Monster Golf out by the mineshaft.
Yeah, lots of entertainment places are opening up. I mean, it's kind of like a boom again, but I don't know. Like,
yeah. I would think a lot of those types of places are so hit and miss, too, but...
They are sometimes, but, like, it's birthday parties. I mean, I guess drive it.
Or did you hear about in San Jose? I mean, a little bit of a drive, but surely at some point in your life you went to the Valco Mall? Right, Cupertino. It's like
I used to live in San Jose.
Okay, it's like across the street from Apple's new building, right? The Valco Mall. Bye bye. They're bulldozing it. Bye bye. It went under, and it's going to be condos.
I was going to say more Apple.
More housing. More housing for the employees at that Apple building. So, which is that fancy one that looks like a glass spaceship or whatever. Anyway,
it is a spaceship. They're just not telling me this.
All right, we should get into some other gaming. So, I mean, it's kind of interesting to talk about these retail shops and things we do in our spare time. Some of y'all, I'm sure, have memories too. But let's get into we are looking at the future a little bit. And I think for our kickoff topic tonight, this might be a little look at the future of what gaming might be. I mean, this is kind of a follow-up, right, Loki? We've talked about this before. Yeah.
So, you know, Microsoft, there have been rumors that they've been launching some sort of streaming service that's going to go along with the Xbox One, perhaps like even just a streaming only console or a digital, you know, console without a drive. Well, apparently now they've started talking about Project X Cloud. It's going to be a streaming service that allow you to stream Xbox One games to computers, phones, and tablets. And basically they said with Project X Cloud, our goal is to deliver quality experience for all gamers on all devices that is consistent with speed and high fidelity gamers experience and expect on their PC and consoles. So yeah, I mean, cool.
I wonder if this is the future of gaming. Is it going to be more of this streaming stuff, you know, processing in the cloud, whatever you want to call it, on like a supercomputer. So that way you're just looking, you know, as
well.
I know we talked about this a little bit last week because, you know, we have somebody brought up like the issue of latency and all that. But that's just going to improve as technology gets
better. Yeah, and apparently, well, my thought was it needed like a really huge bit of bandwidth to do this. But apparently it's not as large as I thought.
Yeah.
And they're even saying to help mitigate some of this stuff, they're actually installing these special servers in data centers, which are basically Xbox Ones, just multiple Xbox Ones in there. So they're going to be doing that as well to kind of help with this. But it's pretty funny. And then along with that, you know, we have, was it Project Stream, which is the Android or the Google service that you've been able, if you like signed into it, the beta, they have the Assassin's Creed Odyssey trial that you can do. So you can actually play Assassin's Creed Odyssey in your Google Chrome browser, which is kind of cool. I did not sign into that, but thought about it.
Now, looking at chat at live.vognetwork.com, Raginator says one word, on live. And then, of course, I think about the Phantom. Remember the Phantom console? Because I thought that was a big way that was supposed to work, too. It was going to be a lot of, like, in the cloud processing or what have you. So it's kind of weird to think that maybe some of these companies were just, like, way ahead of their time in a way that, you know, and we've talked about this, in more rural parts of the country, like, you know, Alaska, or heck, even just, like, rural parts of here in California that aren't the big cities, you know, maybe they don't have the internet to support this. And back in, like, 2003, 2004, when we were talking about the Phantom more commonly, they certainly weren't that. But now, again, internet's getting faster. Internet's getting better. Like, just here in this past couple weeks here in Sac, where we live, they just started rolling out that 5G service. You know what that means? You get cable fast internet through the air. No more cable internet without the cable. That's 5G.
Yeah.
So that's starting here. Now, we sadly at OLR Studios, we don't have that because technically I don't live in the downtown area, which is where all of this is being kind of piloted. But it's coming. It's downtown now. What's it going to look like in 5 years? You know,
At least it's Sacramento, not San Francisco, because that's a little bit further to go.
Well, I'm sure they're getting some form of it, too. But the reason why they pick, and I know Sacramento isn't the only city. They're doing a handful of cities. But one of the reasons why they picked Sacramento is that the city kind of welcomed it. The city was like, oh, you want to put devices on all these telephone poles? Sure, go for it. Like, the city really welcomed it. Whereas I'm sure in San Francisco, there's a lot of red tape. I think that comes a lot of stuff that you want to do there. So it was just, like, easier to try it here. You know, so
is it an olive branch because of the throttling of services for our firefighters?
That's a much more complicated issue. I don't feel comfortable
getting
into. Yeah, I'll
tell you what. You just forget about the whole throttling thing. We'll just give you 5G in Sacramento.
Nifty in chat says, but what about Comcast data caps? Special plans for gamers? I think those data caps are going to have to give to larger data caps as the average consumer consumes more data. Like, why do the data caps exist in the first place right now? I mean, easy moneymaker, I guess, but I get the sense that one of the reasons why those were put into place in the beginning was to try to kind of curb piracy a little bit. It was kind of an answer to BitTorrent in some ways, is that if you leave your BitTorrent running all the time and you're uploading these, you know, 1 or 2 gigabyte episodes of Game of Thrones, pretty quickly that's going to really eat away at your bandwidth. And so this was one way. I that was always kind of part of the – I mean, don't
That's
get me wrong.
That's their excuse.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. There's some of this whole more and more people are cutting the cord and getting rid of their television altogether. We have to make money somehow. But, like, I know a lot of people downtown that are thinking of dropping Comcast and switching to Verizon to get the 5G. Like, that is – that's where the competition is going to go, is like, how fast can you get me my internet? How good and clean and you know, without noise can you get my internet so I can stream video games or do whatever
I would
I
love
do.
To have competition in my neighborhood. You know, and I have Verizon for my phone, which is, it's all right. I get a discount through work. Hopefully I'd still get a discount through the 5G, which I think I would, because they actually were at our work for a vendor fair type thing, and I talked to him. I'm like, yeah, I'm looking for the 5G coming in. He's like, yeah, me too. You know, because the guy's like didn't quite live in Sacramento.
Yeah,
but hopefully soon. But I would, drop him in the heartbeat.
So back to the topic at hand, where I really wanted to go with this discussion, because I think we need to kind of have a serious look at this, especially when we're talking about things like PlayStation 5, Nextbox, whatever they end up doing there, and heck, even Nintendo. I mean, we've kind of blinked and missed it sort of thing, but and probably because this is more prevalent in Japan. I think they released one of them here, but not the other. But Japan has that Resident Evil 7 and Assassin's Creed Odyssey because they're streaming. That's how they're getting the powerful games to run on the Switch. They're streaming them. So kind of those LOL Nintendo is underpowered to run stuff may not last much longer. I think there's a very big potential Nintendo's next system. I mean, I think, they're going to stay invested in the Switch for a good long time. But Nintendo may be the first, if anybody, to be like, not everything is going to be this streaming thing because it's the way that we can deliver, like, huge technology but not pass on that cost to you.
I think the streaming thing is good to a point. But, like, right now, like, I don't think we're going to be able to stream 4K gameplay. Like, you're not going to get Xbox One X quality gameplay streaming. You're not going to get that. But, you know, if you just want Xbox One type gameplay, then those visuals, you probably could do that. It's just, I don't think it's going to be as good as a console, but it'll definitely fill gaps for, like, some consoles that are underpowered that could run some of these games. And that way, it's another way to deliver that to a few more platforms.
Going to chat at live.vognetwork.com. Bobby Blackwolf says, I think now that net neutrality is gone for everywhere but California, they could just sell you. Didn't Washington do something similar? Anyway, but they could just sell you tiers that exempt certain sites in the data cap. So you'll still have a data cap, and none of your traffic to Fortnite and other registered gaming services will count against it for your $9.99 extra a month on your bill. Key term, registered gaming services, which means AAA games and not indie games. AAA studios will have to pay to be a part of their tier. I think with the whole net neutrality thing, though, without getting too political, I think one thing we have to remember is that the government works for us. And when the government swings way too far into special interests, which is, you know, they're misinformed by these special interest campaigns that are
trying
to misinform.
They're paid off.
it's kind of, you know what I mean, where the, is basically guiding their hand to sign off on a lot of these things. I think you're seeing a lot of people rise up and saying, I think the fuck not. And that's why you're seeing this happen at the state level. That's
ironically
why,
by
California.
Verizon, too.
Oh?
Yeah, Ajit Pai, I think, was he was with Verizon prior to
shock, 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 and shock upon shocks. But I think, again, I think even though, yes, this is something that's something that happened at the federal level, I think you're going to see more and more states, especially after what California did. I think you're just going to see more states pass a similar type of policy, and it'll be the people. Because I honestly, like, I see a lot of very tense shit on Twitter, you know, when it comes to blue team versus red team. And I don't really want to get into that right now. But I think one place where we all kind of come together, for the most part, certainly it would have not passed if there weren't some people that felt net neutrality was a bad thing. But I think for the most part, there's a lot of people from the red team that would, you know, cross over and say, yeah, Ajit did not do a good thing here. And net neutrality is overall a good thing. So at least that's the vibe I get on Twitter, is that most people are on the same page there. So at least that's one thing I feel like we can kind of get going, is, you know, striking these things.
The
that
problem is you have really old Senate, really old people in Congress and in the House that
don't get it.
They don't understand what
don't
the internet
get it.
Is.
No.
And then they don't understand.
Remember when we were in awe, like we were really surprised when gosh darn it. I don't. Oh, it was the Schwarzenegger versus person law, or I'm sorry, it was person versus Schwarzenegger. Somebody in chat will know the name, but it was, they struck down that law where they were gonna have, you had to be 18 or up to buy a game at GameStop. Remember that whole thing? But yeah. The term what a mature game was too gray, so that was the problem, is that somebody else was basically gonna have to tell us what was good for us and what was not, and it ended up getting struck down by the Supreme Court. And we were all kind of like, whoa, because in one of the justices things supporting the decision to strike down the law talked about how people on their staff played Mortal Kombat and all this stuff growing up. They had to learn from their legal clerks about what Mortal Kombat was. I don't want to misplace it, but I want to say it was Justice Kennedy. Maybe somebody in chat remembers that whole thing and can correct me, but that, like, people on his legal staff had to kind of advise, like, you know, guide him a little bit because he didn't know. And you're right, a lot of people making the laws in this country may not necessarily know how a lot of technologies and that stuff works. So, Bobby's correcting me. Thank you. It was Schwarzenegger versus EMA, then Brown versus EMA by default when Jerry Brown became governor and took over for Schwarzenegger. And they don't seem to. Black Wolf thinks it was Lena Kagan, and that would make a lot of sense because she would have been the newest justice at the time that was heard, because this was heard before President 45's latest appointees. So it was Justice Kagan, I believe, at that time was the youngest on the court. It may still be, if I'm not mistaken, although I'm not sure if the new guy is younger. But anyway, all that aside, by the time, you know, we're not getting any younger, Loki. Our generation, this whole, like, borderline of Gen X and millennials, the Zillennials, I know some of you hate that term, but deal with it for the moment. You know, we're going to be approaching that age more and more where I think we're going to see ourselves represented more in politics, you know, and it'll be our generation making some of these rules and stuff. This is interesting. I think that's why they say more youth needs to get involved in politics, because that's the only way these things kind of change. So I hope you all registered to vote, because the deadline passed in some places already, but hopefully, you know, where you're at, if you're not registered to vote, you can take care of that. Because
I got my vote, my mail forms.
Yeah, me too. Me too. So anyway, wow, we got on a whole tangent there. It was supposed to be about streaming games, and then it got all political.
It's kind of easy to do that this time of year.
It is. Well, because you're right. I mean, the concerns are right about things like net neutrality and the fact that the Comcast and the Verizons of the world can set these rules when it comes to data caps and all that stuff. That's the big concern a lot of people have when it comes to streaming their games full time, is, well, what about my data caps and all this stuff? Because, you know, if you're streaming Netflix in 4K all day long, which some people do, you're going to hit those data caps pretty quickly.
Which is funny, because, like, Comcast is literally, they have their new box that has Netflix built into it.
Oh,
and
really?
they're advertising, hey, we got Netflix on our box.
What doesn't have Netflix
but
built
like
into it?
I
point?
Just thought it was funny. It's like, but you're so against that. I'm confused. Who are you?
I think in that case, because you know Comcast had their own thing. They had the Stream Flicks or whatever that was called.
Yeah.
Stream Picks. I don't know what it was called. I don't even know if it's still
around. Stream Picks, yeah.
But I really think that was a case of if you can't beat them, join them. And even Netflix can see from where they're sitting. They see Hulu coming in the picture. They see CBS. They see Disney. Is here? Here comes Disney. Here comes what the WB Warner Brothers just said in the past week. They're looking at doing something too. Warner Brothers owns all the Harry Potter movies.
What? I'm not going to be able to get my CW content anymore? Oh, no.
No Buffy the Vampire Slayer for you.
I am disappointed.
Yeah. So I do think it's kind of one of those if you can't beat them, join them type of things. So, but Bobby Blackwolf, again, very chatty tonight, saying that Comcast does state in the fine print that Netflix does count against your data cap. That is probably, honestly, though, that is actually a good thing because that is net neutrality in action. If they didn't count Netflix towards your cap, that would not be net neutrality.
Like,
right?
You, T-Mobile.
So even though it's weird to say, and it might kind of suck, that's actually probably a good thing that Netflix counts against your cap, just like any other traffic would count against your cap.
Or just, you know, get rid of those data caps.
Just like listening to this show. But it's, that's the nice thing of us, about us being audio only. It's so, and even when we go to video, like honestly, streaming 720 video is not as bad as you'd think. Like I would say, like right now, we've been streaming for 28 minutes and we've sent out, I'm looking at the counter as it's ticking up. We don't want, I can't even count all the digits. I think we've sent out 20 megabytes of data, and that's it. So it's not that much, all things considered. So it's about a megabyte a minute. So anyway. All right. Anyhow, let's move on. Let's get into our gaming weeks and talk about the types of video games that we have been playing this week. Loki, how was your gaming week? What have you been up to?
I didn't play much. I played Pokemon Go. Played a lot of that. I played Dance Dance Revolution still because I'm doing that. And someone might, or some people might have been lucky enough to catch my stream on Twitch that I just fucked around with the Twitch mobile app.
I missed it. Am I subscribed to you? I must not be subscribed to you on Twitch. I didn't see it.
It's all right. It wasn't worth it, you know, watching, honestly.
It was a test.
It was a test. I was just, hey, there's a mobile app on this thing. What if I prop my phone up? Let's see how well that works. And yeah, just, you know, I didn't even have it plugged in and it died after 30 minutes. And I, which is fine. But I'm, it was just an experiment. However, with that being said, I am going to be streaming on Twitch. I have gear coming. I have a whole setup that's going to be multi-camera setup plus screen feed.
You can't do anything half-assed, and that's why you never finish a project.
But I've got it ready to go. And
no, I'm excited. What's your Twitch name, Loki OLR?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, that's awesome.
So, yeah, I'll be doing that. The only thing I don't like so far is, and I had this happen with the really crappy stream that I did, is the muting of audio because synchronized love, damn you, Joe, whatever your name is. I don't remember the musician's name, but damn you for muting my audio during that portion.
So you are saving your archives because Twitch doesn't do that by default.
You
have to tell it to.
Yeah, I didn't.
Whoops.
Well, no, it's fine. This was just...
Wait, how'd you know it got muted then, if you don't save your archives?
I was able to play it back.
Then you're saving your archives. Good job.
Oh, I don't remember doing that.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I would always turn that on by default. Anyway. But, yeah, well, I mean, I can imagine with DDR, there's going to be copyrighted songs. If you talk over it, because, like I've played Forza and somehow gotten away with it.
But I
talk a lot.
But it wasn't even, like, direct audio. It was on a phone across the room.
It doesn't matter. You know how YouTube can detect that shit. It's
yeah.
They use something similar to what, like, Shazam and those types of apps. Is that the big one, Shazam? Is
yeah.
there another one? But they SoundHound, I don't know what they're called, but they listen in a similar manner so you can tell what song is playing. It's similar technology to what operates those apps.
Yeah, so I did get, for my DDR machine, I did get a replacement CD drive.
Tiger Claw found your video in like 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Only part of it is muted. Yeah, well, it's
yeah,
that
only part of
it.
And only part of it was muted. And, yeah. and it sucks, too, because, like, apparently I just did this on a whim. Like, I didn't actually prep for it. So I plugged in my phone. My phone had already, it was down to like 30% anyways. I'm like, it should last long enough for this. And then my laptop, you know, it eats through battery like nothing. So I didn't have that plugged in either. So I couldn't tell, You know, in fact, I think the last bit before it cut out, I'm like, oh, my laptop's dead, you know, because the battery had gone dead on that. But, you know, I actually did play Max 300 only on difficult, and I did pass it. I was like, oh, cool. And then I was like, oh, it's dead. Oh, no one saw that. Oh, well. But that's fine. But, yeah, I'm going to hopefully do that. So then, like I said, I got a replacement optical drive for my DDR machine so I can do the Super Disc if I want to and put other mixes on there. I haven't decided if I'm going to do that yet. I am seriously considering a setup with a Stepmania machine as well. But what I'm actually going to do a little bit differently with that is I'm going to have it toggleable. So it's going to be I can flip between Stepmania machine and arcade hardware when I want to.
That sounds like a project.
It's actually not. It doesn't seem like it's going to be that hard. It's just, you know, some splicing of stuff. But for now, just, you know, DDR. I am trying to figure out what songs are going to be flaggable on Twitch. I guess live-wise, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. If you're focusing on live, it doesn't matter. I mean, you just have to realize if you're playing a song that really hinges on the music, you're going to probably get muted. Like, a lot of music games are going to do this, too. If, well, like, you know, not like a...
you know, like the Dance Mania stuff, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. If you play things that are big on licensed music, like Guitar Hero, Rock Band,
yeah, yeah,
you know you're going to get muted because those songs are going to trigger it. So, you know, it's a live-only type of thing. And DDR is just kind of a same thing.
Yeah, so I'll be doing that, you know, as part of my exercise each day. So I'm going to try to push it a little longer and maybe not walk as much during the day so that I actually have energy to do it. So look forward to that sometime soon. I just have to get it all set up and test some things. So you may see some test streams. But, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. And I think the cameras are coming tomorrow. So I can't wait.
Neat. My gaming week, not too thrilling, because I was playing World of Warcraft a bit and working on a new character. So I got my Horde Druid up to 120, and now I'm working on an Alliance Monk. So I'm just kind of slogging away at that. And I think I've hit level 48, but, you know, that's without spending an awful lot of time on it. So that's pretty cool. So I'm happy with the progress there. But otherwise, I haven't been playing a lot of otherwise like console stuff and things. A little bit of Forza. I do remember dabbling in Forza a little bit, but keep in mind, part of my week, Delvin, who was here on the show last week, he was still here. So we went up to Reno on Monday, and I was trying so hard to find him a Killer Instinct machine because he hasn't played on an actual Killer Instinct arcade machine in forever. And I thought, oh, maybe that classic arcade row at Peppermill, because, you know, Peppermill has, like, mm-hmm, yeah. I thought maybe they would have one. They didn't. But they did have that new Ninja Turtles game. So I took a picture of that and put it on Twitter. And so
they have that at Golfland.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah.
Did you play it?
I haven't.
I didn't get a chance to play it because some other kids were, and I was just kind of like watching. But it definitely kind of rings true of the old school one.
I haven't gotten to. Like, the problem is, like, my kids don't have the attention span. Like, they want to do other things. And so I'm like, oh, hey, let's play Ninja Turtles. And play this. I'll play something that spits out tickets. I want to play the Candy Claw machine.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, Candy Claw. Actually, if casino games count as video games, which they might as well be. It's what Konami does now, y'all. Konami does casino games. Well, anyway, so I like to play slot machines a little bit. I'll set myself a limit and, you know, say this is how much I'm going to waste on slot machines today. But anyway, long story short, I went to a Wheel of Fortune machine that was just on some classic, you know, sevens and bars type of thing. I put the max credit in, pulled the thing, and it came up on the wheel, and it spun the wheel, and I won 500 credits. So it was quarters, so it ended up being $125.
I love the Wheel of Fortune machines. I always had great luck on those.
Yeah, so that was it. And after that, I was like, done. So I was very proud of myself for kind of like walking away. But I did also, so this is also funny, because it's like Vegas Dreams IRL. Did you all ever play Vegas Dreams on the Super Nintendo? Because I love that game. It was dead. Reno was dead on Monday because, of course, it's a Monday. It's a weekday, even though it was Columbus Day or whatever. I guess nobody really has the day off except maybe banks in the States. So the casinos were dead. So, like, the thing that kind of crossed Delvin and I's mind was that if we go up to play a table game, they can actually, like, kind of interact with us. Like, we wouldn't, you know how, like, with blackjack, you don't want to go play blackjack when you don't know what you're doing because you'll fuck it up for everybody else at the table. I don't know if you know that, but that's like a thing. if you like hit when you're not supposed to in blackjack, you can like take somebody else's 10 basically and like screw it up. So I didn't play blackjack, but we played roulette for the first time. So this is just a funny side story. Delvin was like learning about like kind of like, because I guess you have to do like a $5 minimum bet, but you can spread it out on the inside or you can do it all on one thing on the outside. So the lady was kind of teaching us how to play this. So I watched him go through like $20 and then I was like, you know what? I'll play for fun. So I put my things down and I put $2 on my mom's birthday, the month and the year. Or I'm sorry, the month and the day. And then I put $1 on my birthday, the 26th. Well, guess what roulette number came up? 26. So I won like $35 or whatever. And I was like, done. That was my one and only game of roulette. Like, because it's not going to happen to me twice in a row.
Right.
That was my one and only game of roulette I ever played. So that was kind of fun. Anyway. SSG100 Matt in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, yeah, $125 more money than you've had before. Well, in a way, Matt, that was kind of Reno paying me back for all the money it's taken from me in the past. So, you know, and while it's a nice sum of money, don't get me wrong, it's not that much money. Like, it pretty much, it paid for dinner and gas. You know, by then it's like, oh, money's gone. But it was nice. It's nice to have the trip to Reno, I guess, on the house that way. So we had a good time. Trying to think of like other – we walked around to some of the arcades, but it's just – it's so sad how the vast majority of arcades are all like just ticket spinners.
Any DDR machines to be found?
No. Believe it or not, no. Like, and we checked because we were looking for the Killer Instinct machine. Circus has a whole new area. What used to be the ice cream shop is all like a subsidiary arcade now. No DDR machine in there or anything like it. No, like in the Groove or anything like that. Nothing at Harrah's. None of it. Peppermill didn't have it.
Huh.
Maybe, you know, maybe I just went to the wrong casino. Somebody's probably listening to the show going, I live in Reno. It's over here. Well, we just missed it, I guess. It happens. So
I used to love the Silver Legacies buffet. I love casino buffets. That's like my guilty pleasure right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's so much crap, but
it's a buffet. What do you expect?
Well, I'm going to Vegas in November, so there won't be an OLR November, or maybe actually I might be back in time for it. I don't know. We'd be pushing it a little bit. But it's like November 19th or something around that day. There's not going to be an OLR because I'm going to Final Fantasy Fan Fest for Final Fantasy 14, where they'll undoubtedly announce the next expansion. That's in Vegas. And yeah, probably we'll go to some of the Vegas buffets and all that stuff when I go down there for, ironically, a video game related convention. So anyway, that's my gaming week. Pretty much like World of Warcraft and just a few other things here and there. And that's really it. Forza, that's it. Watching some Twitch, but not a lot of otherwise gaming. But just been focusing on that. I started another one of my reality games on Facebook. At least this time I can talk about it. It's not the whole thing in secret. So there actually might be people, because some of them heard about my show. So, hey, if y'all are listening. Yeah, so I know that's going to be another time sink as well. But those are more like social types of games. I really kind of parallel it to D&D. Not everybody agrees with me. But D&D is like a very social thing. That's what these are. They're social games. So anyway, let's get into some gaming news. We'll start it off with the first news story, Loki.
Yep. So this is another game that I probably got to pick up, even though I've been bad about playing the VR games that I have purchased on the PlayStation 4, but this is pretty cool. Borderlands 2 VR is going to be coming to the PlayStation VR on December 14th. It's a retooled version of Borderlands 2, and apparently they have a new mechanic called Bamf Time, or Badass Mega Fun Time, which I guess slows down everything. Allows people to dodge bullets and do other cool stuff. Of course, driving is first person now, and the weapons are controlled, I guess, by head movement. And they're saying that you can also choose between the standard controller movement or the point-to-point teleportation. So, neat. I'm curious to see what other cool stuff you could do in this, but I don't know. So I'll probably pick it up because I'm a sucker for that crap. I still need to play it through Skyrim. I need to move my whole setup away from where I'm at. Hey, that's actually, speaking of this whole streaming thing. So one of the thoughts I had was, you know, for the channel is basically calling the thing Loki's Garage because it is literally in my garage. But
fair enough.
I may end up moving some of my gaming stuff out into the garage because then I can actually play it and talk without interrupting everybody or being annoying. So I may end up sticking with that for other games other than DDR as well.
You should look at trying to like insulate the garage a little bit so that it's like tolerable. Well, in the winter it'll be more tolerable, and then like trying to I don't know how you would
soundproof.
No, not necessarily soundproof, but try to like for the summer to not get it so freaking hot in there.
Yeah, insulation, but the walls do not have insulation in them. I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
And the roof, yeah, it would just be, I would like to have it insulated so it's not 115 degrees in the summer.
Because Loki's garage will be fun in the winter, but in the summer it's not going to be fun.
Summer is not fun.
No.
I play DDR in the summer. I will still play DDR in the summer, but
yeesh.
It is not, it is opening the garage door and it's sweating your balls off.
Let's see. So, Kaijudo in chat says, I'm down for Borderlands VR. Yeah, you know what I thought was interesting about this is that this kind of reminded me, weren't we expecting, like, Borderlands 3 by now? Like, shouldn't that have been a thing at this year's E3? But I guess it's just maybe not, so it's not fully done yet. So this is, this
well,
is
you got Rage 2. That's pretty close.
I guess. This is kind of the crumbs we're getting to hold us over, VR port.
Although I do want a new Borderlands game.
I feel like Borderlands...
I still haven't played through the pre-sequel, though, so technically I do have a new Borderlands game I haven't played yet.
I feel like Borderlands 2 is like all of a sudden back again because like I've seen more and more people streaming it. Like our buddy Travis Donovan is trying to get more and more involved in Twitch, so shout out for his channel. But he's been playing some Borderlands 2, and I'm kind of like, well, this is a throwback. I haven't seen this game in a while because that game came out a while ago at this point, Borderlands 2.
Yes, yeah. It's been out for a long time, but it's a great game.
So yeah, no, it is. It'll be interesting to try it again in VR, I think. Play it all over again. So, let's see. Dungeon Buster in chat says they're working on it, but I'm guessing they don't have anything to show for Borderlands 3. So it just wasn't ready to go yet. Maybe next year, or maybe they're going to sit on it for the next consoles. Who knows? Because now that's a question we have to start asking. Or, no, Borderlands 3 will come out on this round of consoles, and then they'll have the definitive edition on the new consoles.
Or
wait.
Be a Battle Royale mode. Or...
Wait for, oh, God. A Borderlands Battle Royale? How dare you? Don't even plant that idea in their heads. All right.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase, butter.
Well, you know, hey, for Battle Royale games, cross-platform is all the rage, right? So, you know, one question we asked when we heard that Fortnite was going to go cross-platform was how long until the other games go cross-platform? And Blizzard was one company that we were all looking at for Diablo, you know, and Diablo is going to be coming out on the Switch. Well, interesting, there's been a little bit of back and forth on this week. So apparently there was a rep that actually was being interviewed talking a little bit about crossplay in Diablo 3 who responded that it's not a question of when, or sorry, it's a question of when, not if. Basically leading us to go like, oh, shit, they're going to put crossplay in Diablo 3, so that would be great because you can play the Switch and the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, and who knows, maybe there'd be a way to kind of link to PC. And I kind of thought this was really exciting news as well, or this statement was very exciting because this may mean that, oh, okay, well, if it's crossplay, then it may not necessarily go through Nintendo servers and whatever. It's going to go through Battle.net. So maybe, I mean, think of it this way. You could chat with somebody playing World of Warcraft from your Nintendo Switch when you're in Diablo, right? That would make sense how that might work, right? Well, unfortunately, that was the news a couple days ago. But Blizzard came out after that and said, I don't think so. So there's a second comment from a Blizzard rep that said, while we love the idea of bringing our players together across platforms, we do not have any plans to implement cross-platform gameplay for Diablo at this time. Now, some are reading into this a bit, is that maybe Blizzard doesn't want to commit to this. They don't want to say it's going to happen because they haven't been testing it, they haven't been doing anything, and Nintendo, they don't want to let anybody down. Or if they want to unveil this, they're going to wait for BlizzCon to do it. So there's still some wishful thinking going into this statement. Is that kind of one of those, well, they didn't say not ever, just that they're not announcing it right now. But who knows?
Because we'll have to wait and see.
Don't expect it out the gate. Do not buy Diablo 3 on Switch expecting that it'll be cross-platform. That is something that's very important. Now, speaking of companies and cross-platform, I think this is a good chance to say something about another company that does a lot of publishing on all these different systems, and that would be Bethesda. So Bethesda is looking at doing more crossplay. In fact, in a quote, they were doing an interview with Eurogamer, and part of what they said during this Eurogamer was, I'm trying to look at where the specific quote is here, because they actually talked about how crossplay would be like a really good thing. He says here, I'm most heartened by Sony's news last week about crossplay because it seems they're going to open up and embrace not just crossplay, but cross-platform progression. Those are two very different things. I don't want to just be able to play against people on other platforms. I want to be able to take my progress with me from device to device. What I've unlocked my character can do, I want to go from platform to platform. And both those things, I think, are equally important, and I'm very much hopeful that with the next-gen platforms, we'll see even more of that in terms of treating our fan base as a whole, as opposed to, here's the Xbox folks, here's the PS4 folks, here's the Switch folks and PC. Everybody's segmented and walled off from each other. We can just say, you're all playing game X, and we can treat you all the same because your experiences are the same. You're playing against each other. We already know Bethesda's head is kind of in this a little bit. Like, they're not going to do it with Fallout 76 because it's one of those that was already in the planning stages and kind of done before crossplay started going everywhere. But we know for their Elder Scrolls game, they flat out came out and said, what's the new one called? The mobile one, but I say mobile, but it's going to be everywhere. It's going to be on Switch, PS4.
Elder Scrolls Blades?
Yeah, that's it, Blades. So they come out and said, if you don't support cross-platform, you're not getting Blades. So Bethesda kind of put their foot down on this whole thing. So they really want, and you know, as somebody, you know, Bethesda being a third-party publisher,
they should also push for better mods in the PlayStation 4 version of Skyrim, but you know.
Might be a little late for that now. I think they're looking ahead,
it's
not
never
backwards.
Too late. Never
I think
too late.
Bethesda was self-parodying themselves this year when it came to how many fucking versions of Skyrim there are. I don't think Bethesda's interested in going back and visiting any more Skyrim. I think any talk here on out is going to be Blades and then eventually Elder Scrolls 6, but I would say Elder Scrolls 6 is
there's
still
always,
quite a ways out.
There's always room for Oblivion remasters.
Boy, oh boy. All right, anyway. So it sounds like Bethesda really wants this, and I think, you know, as we get into more and more consoles, that may be very well the way it goes, especially if the third parties are putting on a lot of pressure to do that. And then what else is it going to say with all that is that they're putting a lot of pressure on it, and then, with Forza, I've been playing that, you know, on both Xbox One and PC, and when they talk about the portability, that is really nice. It is nice that I can do one thing on my PC, and then when it's like, oh, I want to show my friend, so let's play on Xbox One for a little bit, it just, like, picks right up where I left off, essentially. I mean, in Forza, you kind of start over at your house, but it's same thing.
Well, you can restart from where your progress is. I need to play more of that, too.
Yeah. So anyway, there you go. Cross-platform and what the future might hold for that. It sounds like third parties putting a little more pressure on for this to stay the norm, especially going into the next generation of consoles. But maybe don't expect it for all your games coming out this year. Anyhow, moving on, Loki.
Yes. So apparently some PlayStation 4 users are claiming that they're receiving messages that are locking up their consoles. So what they're receiving is basically some user message that can't really be displayed. And then what happens is their controllers and sound output fail. And then basically the console continues with error loops. So what can you do to possibly stop this? Well, there's a few things you can do to kind of prevent the message if you haven't gotten it already. You can basically lock down your privacy settings to only allow friends only or no one to send you messages. And then if you do happen to run across the message, the other thing you could do is download the PlayStation mobile app, delete it through the app, and then you can also rebuild your database on the PlayStation to fix the error. So that's kind of annoying. Hopefully it's something that they address and will patch out. And most likely it sounds like some sort of characters that can't be displayed or something and the console gets confused. I don't know. That's stupid.
Well, I don't like, too, that there's, like, a lot of clickbait going around about how this is bricking consoles, because it's not...
It's locking up, but...
Yeah, it was brought up on Discord, and I think there was some feedback on Discord, like, that headline is really misleading, because it's not... Like, if it was bricking your console, you would not be able to use said console ever again. This is more like just a fucking giant inconvenience, which isn't cool, don't get me wrong, But like, if this happens to your PlayStation 4, don't throw it in the dumpster. It's fixable.
Yeah.
It's just really inconvenient. And honestly, by the time the workday starts on Monday, I'm pretty sure Sony is well aware of this. I mean, it just came up with a weekend. So I'm pretty sure you're going to see a patch rolling out probably this week that's going to fix this right up.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good reminder for everybody to check your privacy settings. And honestly, unless you have a reason for the public to be sending you messages, turn it off. Have it be your friends only. That's what mine's. I think mine's set to friends only. It might be set to friends of friends if that's an option, because sometimes I want people to be able to like add me if they see we have like mutual friends and they're like, oh, I know that guy. But yeah, it's kind of on lockdown from the general public. And luckily, I have the mobile app. I tend to look at my messages on the mobile app first. So if I got anything funky like this, I'd probably delete it before I ever saw it on my PS4.
Yeah. And with how unoften I use my PlayStation 4, except for last night when I had to watch the DVD version of A Star is Born from 1970. aside from that, I hardly ever get to play my PlayStation 4 anyway, so yeah.
So, yeah, you know where I get a ton of messages? So this is going to be a big throwback. So if you were here the night that Orange Lounge Radio, the very last night of Orange Lounge Radio, the DDR show before we merged with the podcast, you remember how we used to do it split? We did like an hour-long podcast. We had the live show. It was a split show. Not all of you may have known that. If you're new to Orange Lounge Radio, you may not realize there used to be a live-only show that was not podcast at all, and that obviously changed a long time ago. But anyway, I'm bringing that up because if you were here for that very last show, we had a guest named Mistress Tia on that show, who's one of my longest and dearest friends. She's wonderful. She lives in New York City now. Well, this is how long ago that was. Her kid's like 13 or 14 now, and so I get all of these messages on PlayStation because the kid spams the entire friends list talking about fucking Fortnite. And it's all these things. It's like, I didn't ask this, but it's her PlayStation account. So of course we friended each other, but it's her kid obviously monopolizes the PlayStation using her account, sending all these messages about how he's going to kick some dude's ass at Fortnite. And I'm just kind of laughing. Like I have a good time. I'm not like actually annoyed with it, but I'm just kind of like, oh my God, stop. Get the kid his own account.
I know it didn't make her show roll, but there was one thing, you know, with the whole Call of Duty Black Ops 4 being now through the Blizzard launcher or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, guess what happens when you chat in Call of Duty on PC? Your real name shows up. Woo, fun times.
So I went on a little bit of a Twitter rant, because that's what we do now in 2018. We Twitter rant, because this goes back to Blizzard's shitty implementation of Real ID. And I realize Blizzard has done a lot of great things for PC games. Blizzard has a very diehard community. But even some of the most diehard Blizzard people, like I would die on Blizzard's Hill, even some of them that I have met through the years that I did Horde House, the Warcraft show years ago, even many of them that I've met think Real ID is implemented shittily. And when I say shittily, I mean, and I might be making up a word there, but it's a word now, shittily. It's how Real ID was implemented. Is that on the wiki?
It's shitty implementation.
Shittily. anyway, I say that because it's like Blizzard goes out of their way to make sure you're using your real name on all this stuff. When, you know what? That might not be such a good idea. I realize they did that because they thought they would prevent toxicity. But clearly, you're not paying attention to Overwatch if you think this is going to work. I don't understand why putting your real name on blast in this day and age of everybody streaming, which Blizzard themselves endorses you streaming through Facebook. Remember, they have a partnership with Facebook. It's right there in the Battle.net app. You can stream right there on Facebook. It defaults to showing your real name. And in this day and age of streaming, like, is that such a good idea?
Yeah.
Because and you might go, well, Rob, if you don't want to put it out there, don't fucking stream. Yeah. Problem with your little snap analysis is that if one of my friends is streaming, I can't do anything about it because the default is to always show your friend's real names. So if I send a friend a message who happens to be streaming, oh, I just showed my real name, and one I didn't get to pick, one that Blizzard took off of my credit card I was using to pay for World of Warcraft without my permission and permanently put it on my account, and I can't change it without some fucking court order or something like that. Like, this is still a big problem with Blizzard, and one that I really wish Because Blizzard is pretty decent about listening to their fan base when they make a stink. I wish there was more of a stink about this issue because it sucks. Especially for those of us that, for protection and, you know, things that have happened to us in the past, don't always like to use their birth names. So I really wish Blizzard, all they have to do, look, if they want to make you accountable or whatever by having your real name, fine. Have it on a mouse over. Have it on view profile. Like if you're like, Sky, who's Sky? Oh, right click view profile. Oh, it's Rob. Oh, that's who that is. Fine. Do it that way. But don't have it be like the name that just shows up in chat with the message. It sucks. So I just wish Blizzard people would make more of a stink about that because Blizzard might actually listen. But I just feel like people either feel like, A, there's nothing that can be done. We've already had this real ID debate a long time ago. Or B, it's just not a big enough issue for some people, whatever. And you may, for a lot of people, it isn't a big deal. They use their real name everywhere. But maybe this Call of Duty thing and how big that news is, maybe that'll spawn a discussion. I don't know. Yeah. But I just would, again, all I want the Blizzard ID to just default to the nicknames and show real name on request or something if you want to do it that way. Fine. I'll compromise. Anyway, looking at chat over at live.vognover.com. Oh, they're still talking about the PS4 spam. Not a lot of feedback to my rant there, but they're talking about the Fortnite spam. Kaijuda saying, I got spam messages on PlayStation 4 a few times. I've been meaning to turn off messages. Well, the story about the brick consoles, I said it. It's not really brick. Not really bricked, asterisk. Consoles is a good opportunity to remind yourself about that. Fifth Dream says, happens to me too. Some random dude I friended early on sends messages to 70 people. Well, Tiger Claw in chat says, PSN does this thing that would show your IRL name next to your PSN username. So I just put in Tiger as the first name and Claw as the last name. I got around that too on PSN. I think it's because I linked it to my Facebook, which is not my real name. Or PlayStation lets you fill it in. Like, you don't have to fucking call Sony to be like, I need to change my real name. I'm pretty sure, and maybe somebody in chat can correct me if I'm wrong, you can change it yourself by going in there and just changing your name. Blizzard does not let you change your name without like calling and jumping through hoops. This has gotten them some shit with transgender individuals who, you know, go through a process of changing their name and so forth. But I believe, to be fair to Blizzard, under some type of heat and feedback, they reduce the requirements to change that sort of information to make that process easier for those folks going through that. So, anyhow. Yeah, Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I never linked anything to my Battle.net account either, so they actually still believe my name is Bobby Blackwolf. Yeah, they took my info off my credit card. That's what pisses me off. That's how they got my real name. So anyway. All right, let's move on and talk a little bit about other ways to lock things down, but this time a little more literally. How do you lock things down? It's a new item called the Switch Safe. It locks the Switch to the dock and prevents the game card slot from being used. And it has a little lock on it. So it's basically a dock for your dock that you can put the Nintendo Switch in and you can lock it away. Maybe if you're afraid it's going to get stolen or something like that. I don't know. But what I think it's really for is for families with kids. And you know how you might tell the kids, now you don't get to play Nintendo Switch until all your homework is done, and I better not see you. This is a way that you can make sure you're literally putting it under lock and key so that the kid can't play the Switch until they've done all their homework. So that is that's a new little item there that you can get for sale, the actual Switch Safe. Would you get one of these for your house, Loki?
No.
Keep your kids away? By the way, this is not the first time there's been something like this. Do you remember this for the NES? And Dark Tetsuya posted this in our
story
forums.
Yes, I remember that.
He's like, it reminds me of this. It looked like this little bar you put on your original Nintendo Entertainment System that would like hold the lid up and prevent games from going in. It was the master lock.
It's the club.
It basically is. It's the club. You guys remember that too for your car? To prevent your car from getting stolen, you put the club on the street. It's basically that, but for your Nintendo Entertainment System. So it kind of is a throwback to that in a way. So it's interesting how all these parental controls have evolved over the years. But also, it's interesting because doesn't Nintendo Switch kind of like have parental controls and they're pretty transparent in how to use them? And if you want to see what your kid is playing and when, if you just educate yourself on it a little bit, it's really easy to find that information
out. Totally easy.
But most people don't know how to do it, so they're like, I'm just going to pick up this lock and key.
Ignorance is cash.
I think that is a good way to sum it up. Ignorance is cash. Tiger Claw in chat says, do people still use the club? I think if you drive a car from that era still, which some people do, you might.
Probably not, because they're really easy to break through. But
oh, are they? See, now a lot of cars are all about, like, I know my car uses a fob. So yeah, you don't even have a key anymore.
Yeah. You can still spoof those, I think.
I was going to say, there's got, but certainly, like, okay, you know how, like, your garage door opener runs on, like, a wireless signal, so you can change the code on your garage door to basically make it run on a different signal. So, like, somebody can't just drive around the neighborhood holding down the garage door button and hope to open your garage, right? You can change the code to something unique to prevent that. I would imagine, like, fobs are kind of like that, too, where, I mean, they're so, like, there's got to be a unique key in them that's 120
bits. Well, yeah, and
bits.
I think originally garage door openers were infrared, and they're a little bit more limited, but I think nowadays probably just wireless, and
yeah,
it's a little bit more, I don't know, higher tech.
SH100 Matt in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, I still see a ton of people using the club on older cars. So, you know, for the good old cars that still run on ignition keys and things like that, of which there's, I mean, heck, my 2010 Civic ran on a key still. So technically, that's Alan's car now. He could use the club.
I have a 2017 car, but mine has a chip in the key, though, so.
Oh, you know what? I think my Honda did, too. I think that you're right. I think there was still, like, a chip in the key, and it wouldn't work without it. So you're right.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, let's move on. A couple more news stories for you guys before we get to the classic game of the week. Next up, a game you and I play a lot of. Exciting stuff.
Pokemon Go. And it's only a matter of time, because they've already teased it. There's new Pokemon coming. But when, you might say? I think probably in the next few weeks, maybe. Right after a Halloween update, maybe? I don't know. But Gen 4 is coming. And along with that, some rebalancing to the game as well. So they're going to be doing some rebalancing to the battle mechanic, including adjusting CP values to improve balance. HP values, thank God, fucking Blissey.
No, my gym queen. No, she needs a nerf. It's fine.
So they're going to adjust that to close the gap between high HP Pokemon and low HP Pokemon. Pokemon defense and stamina values will be retroactively rebalanced, allowing higher defense Pokemon to be valuable in battle by outlasting opponents rather than simply running back the clock. Defensive values have also been slightly retroactively reduced for most Pokemon changes. Or changes like this will help narrow the gap between Pokemon with the highest defensive stats and other Pokemon. And then they're saying the other migration changes, adjustments to the weather, and moving forward will have a reduced effect on the rate at which Pokemon spawn. Is that like bad weather? Because that's even worse.
No, I think it's that, like, you know, how some climates just don't ever get rain, like here, or snow.
Oh, yeah.
So it's basically those, I mean, I think it sounds like they'll still enhance some of the spawns, but it's not going to be, like, dependent.
Oh, yeah, it's not going to be, like, where I look at it now and, like, 30 of the Pokemon there nearby are enhanced by the weather type thing.
Yeah, it's going to be, it'll still be there, but not to the extent you see it now.
Apparently they said as you explore a given area, you'll notice that a greater variety of Pokemon will appear over time in different rates. Cool.
That is very good. Well, because I'm wondering, like, with Gen 4 hitting, that's a lot of like, especially if you're new to the game, you're going to be overwhelmed with all the fucking Pokemon that are out there. So, I mean, there's got to be a way to kind of distribute the Pokemon in different ways.
Certain areas such as parks and nature reserves are now going to contain a more variety of Pokemon species.
And that's going to be one way to do it. They're going to probably limit some types of spawns to parks. So, that'll be interesting.
I'm down for a variety. Especially after the Psychic Week and whatever, like, they had, was it the Day of Female Pokemon, which I was like, ooh, I got my Love Disc, because I didn't have that yet.
Oh, wow, you didn't have a Love Disc. Okay.
Yeah, but everything else is like, I don't need that.
Well, they also did Shiny Nidoqueen her evolution.
I didn't get any of those.
Yeah. No, I didn't either. I did get a Shiny Drowsy, though, just randomly from the Psychic event going on, so that's kind of cool. It's more and more Shinies that are out there now, so.
Yeah.
You know, and coming up this Sunday is Bedlam.
Yes.
Day.
Yes.
So, Gen 4 when? I believe if you follow some of the, like, Reddits and stuff that really get into the nitty-gritty of this, Android got a limited release of the version of the game that basically has the Gen 4 Pokemon in it. It has to be enabled server-side still. So, and they do that so that way, like, Android and iPhone are not getting them at separate times. And then at some point, they'll force an upgrade, so you're going to have to download the latest version. That's when you know the Gen 4 Pokemon are here. With the Psychic event ending Monday, honestly, I think Gen 4 is hitting next week. Well, at least, let me dial that back a little bit. The rebalancing will hit next week, I think. I think that might come first, and then Gen 4, like, really soon after.
I thought they would do, like, a Halloween event or something like that, where it's, like, Ghost Pokemon or something.
They might just unleash them all. I mean, because so much of Gen 4 is evolutions and pre-evolutions, like with Rhydon and that whole thing, with them getting...
Are those like the Mega Evolutions now?
No, they're not Mega Evolutions. They're just like, they get new forms. So like Electabuzz has a new form. So there's Rhyhorn, Rhydon, and that's why some of the rebalancing has to happen. Like Rhydon is like one of the most, like, I might be switching him around, sorry, but that rhinoceros dude, he's like one of your best like raiders and
yes. General.
Like if he's getting another form, that thing is going to be overpowered as fuck. So they have to dial it back a little bit. So that's what
I'm waiting for my Murkrow to update. I've got so much candy. It's like
yes.
You're a fucking useless piece
Murkrow,
of shit.
Murkrow,
but I'm
going to
keep
one.
You because
Mamoswine's going to be new. That's a big one for that line. So yeah, that's why I kind of think they can't do just the ghosts first because there's going to be so much Gen 4 that revolves on evolution and stuff. So, we'll see what happens. Looking at chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Let's see. Bobby says, if there's one thing that I've learned from the gaming community, it's that just because something makes a lot of money doesn't mean it isn't failing. See Nintendo. Let's see. Yeah, there's still a lot of money. ActDev points out dead game, because they're joking about the dead game thing. I know Bobby's not serious, because I still send him gifts in Pokemon Go, and he opens them. So, ActDev says, Black Wolf, a dead game that made over $84 million only in September. Oh, yeah. Because people were buying incubators like mad to get their fucking Mime and Kangaskhan. Guilty!
I got a Mime, but I don't remember where I got that from. I got it from something. I think it must have hatched it.
One of the eggs. Probably one of the Alolan eggs finally gave you one. So there you go.
What'd they give me now? Nothing?
Alolan eggs are just kind of generic right now. But I would assume when Gen 4 hits, there's going to be something in them you're going to want. I know they're going to do it. When Gen 4 hits, they're going to be like, oh, such and such things are only going to be
in those eggs. I was an idiot. So I had that whole Eevee, like that for the Celebi thing. I've had the Eevee thing where you have to walk an Eevee for 10 kilometers and then evolve it.
Oh, right.
I walked it for 10 kilometers, switched it with something else, and forgot to evolve it. Damn you.
You have to. It has a big common mistake people make. You have to evolve it while it's your buddy.
I know.
Do not drop it out of your inventory. You can put it back as your buddy, and I think you're okay because I think it still has the walk, but you have to evolve it when it is your buddy.
So try that.
If you're willing to sacrifice it, or look it up on the internet first. I'm sure somebody's done it. Maybe somebody in our chat will speak.
Well, I did evolve it already, and I think actually it evolves into something else. But
yeah. Let's see. Going to chat at live.vognetwork.com. Tiger Claw wants some Pokeballs. Sorry, Tiger Claw. I'm trying to send gifts, but especially on like Sundays, I don't get out on Sundays. So like no gifts go out at all on Sundays. But other days, it just depends on what I'm doing. Like when I was in Reno, like I got so many fucking Pokestops while we were in Reno. I think I sent a gift to every single person on my friends list. That's like 120 people. I sent a gift to every single person that didn't already have something sitting in their inventory. Because I think you're limited to sending 100 gifts a day.
But there, I just sent you one.
Oh, you sent Tiger Claw one?
Yes, I sent him.
Oh, what a nice guy. Nice guy, Loki. There you go. So it just depends. But if
I try to catch, like, sometimes, like, I don't get enough gifts out of the Pokestops because I usually with my walks, I try to walk past as many of them as I can. But, sometimes you go with, like, a few spins that it's not that. Or what will happen is, like, yeah, I'll have my gotcha on and then I forget, oh, yeah, I can only collect 10 gifts at a time and I forget to send them.
Yeah.
Which happened yesterday.
Yeah. And my big thing is I forget to open them. Like, I'll be like, oh, before I go to bed, I'm going to open all my gifts to make sure I hit the max today. And I usually go through and I'll open gifts first from people who I haven't had an interaction with yet for the day to get, as much credit as I can with the leveling up of all the different friendships that I have. But, then I'll forget. And then it'll be like, oops, it's 1:30 in the morning and it's now tomorrow. So, whoops. I've done that so many times. Anyway.
Yeah, which, by the way, 5 more days.
Yeah, we're going to hit BFF next week. Same thing with Jamie. So I hit BFF with like four people next week, which will be nice because if I time it with the lucky eggs, which you better tell me when we hit it because I can do a lucky egg.
I just didn't like Act F did that to me. He told me that we're gonna hit, but then like I didn't have a lucky egg on me at the time.
I've got plenty.
Or like I was like okay, I'm gonna go buy one and it just boop popped. I'm like, oh
yeah, you have to do it right away. Like as soon as the game opens, go boop, bring up your screen to do the inventory so it can't beat you to the pop up or whatever. But yeah, if you can pop a lucky egg, I will hit level 40 next week with those friendship increases if I'm able to lucky egg them all. And I'm very excited because that means I'm going to be in the rare level 16, level 40 club. There's a few. I'm actually in a chat for level 16 Ingress players who happen to also play Pokemon Go. And there's a few, but not a lot. So it'll be...
And pretty soon, whenever...
Harry Potter
comes out.
I got my eye on that whenever that starts. So we'll see. All right. Anyhow, Gen 4 Pokemon Go coming soon. Also coming soon, but not that soon. Coming less soon in the way future. The PlayStation 4 successor, which... I mean, is it not going to be called the PlayStation 5? Would you not call it the PlayStation 5? I don't know. I guess Sony can do whatever the fuck they want.
Then again, you know, Microsoft, yeah, Xbox One, 360.
In an interview with the Financial Times, Kenichiro Yoshida, who's now the boss of Sony, did say, at this point, what I can say is it's necessary to have a next-generation hardware. And the Financial Times continued, the early indications were that it might not be a major departure from the PS4 and that the fundamental architecture will be similar. So basically, they're saying, yep, we're working on the PlayStation successor, which we already knew. They were working on the PlayStation successor the day the PS4 hit shelves. That's how long these things take, especially, you know, if we're going to be talking full 4K gaming, on the, which is, I imagine, is what it's going to be on the next round of consoles, like... you're going to have, you know, companies that are already working on it because it's going to take that time to develop those type of games. So, yeah, I'm sure it's just a matter of when. Is it next year? Is it going to be 2020? Who knows? I would say probably at this point 2020.
I hope so, yeah.
Although Microsoft really kind of set the stage to unveil something next year, although I feel like that's shooting the Xbox One X in the foot a little bit. But we also know that Microsoft's plan... is that whatever is their next console, you could still play the games for that console on the old systems, but it's like the cell phones. I think we had an email.
Yeah, I'll be able to play their old games on, or their old console games on my system, PC.
Oh, that too. A lot of their games are out on PC.
And they're probably their new console on my PC.
But you know what I mean? Like if they come out with, you know, Halo 21 or whatever they're up to now. Oh, no, it's Halo Infinite. So if Halo Infinite comes out on the next console, it's still going to play on the old consoles as well. But it's kind of like your cell phone is that, you know, Pokemon Go doesn't run quite the same on an iPhone 6 as it does on an iPhone 10. There's a little bit of a difference, right?
Right.
So that's kind of what you can expect with something like what will happen in Microsoft's future and perhaps PlayStation's as well. I would assume, although I could be very fucking incorrect in this, but I hope Sony doesn't fuck this up, that the PlayStation 5 will be built so that you can play PlayStation 4 games on it.
Maybe.
I hope. I don't know, you guys. Anyway. That is it for what is going on with the current and the new games. But I think we should take a moment to journey to gaming's past. I will say, though, tonight the segment for gaming's past is a little shorter than it has been previously because we had to catch Dark Sakura during a break during the day today. So for those of you that step away during the break and so forth, you won't have as much time tonight. So anyway, with that being said, let's get in the time portal and visit the classic game of the week. And so we take a step back through time and space and radio magic and Skype to welcome Dark Sakura to the show. Hi, Jamie. How are you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'd be better if you were here, but I understand, you know, circumstances are what they are.
Yep.
So you are actually calling us, like, while you're on break at your job right now, right?
Well, I'm on lunch, yeah.
Yeah. That's dedication. So Dark Sakura is dedicated to bringing you the classic game every week here on the show. So let's get to it, Dark Sakura. What did you pick as folks should be going into their own gaming vaults and finding a game to play this week? What did you pick for the classic game of the week?
We're time traveling to 1999 and picking Jumbo Safari.
I love this game.
Okay. So Jumbo Safari was released by Sega in 1999, and it was a Naomi game. Although this was one of the few Naomi games that did not make it to the Dreamcast, which, you know, was, of course, the system at the time. It also was supposed to be one of the real-life career series games, along with Brave Firefighters and Emergency Call Ambulance. So the other thing with this one is that it did eventually get home versions on the Wii and the DS under the title Jumbo Safari Animal Rescue in 2009. So in this particular game, you use a steering wheel and a gear shift on the machine to drive in a jeep, and then you shoot a lasso to select your animal or to catch animals. You have one of four different players with their own vehicles. The Wii actually has the same arcade game, but it uses the motion controls. They also, with that too, is that you've got like customizable characters and vehicles and stuff like that in the story mode, where you go and you roam around in the game, and then you can, you know, catch your animals that way, and you gain experience points to become a full park ranger. So it's a little bit more RPG-ish. And you can also interact with the animals in that game and treat their injuries and feed them. And you have a co-op mission mode and four-player party games like Ostrich Racing. The DS version is kind of the same way. So it really was just, you know, a very simple game, though, in the arcade. Catch animals, get points. Catch animals, get points. And, like, you get, like, hyenas and cheetahs and all kinds of animals, but that's really it. It's very simple. The console versions are pretty fun, but for me, it's just whatever I found one in the arcade. Like, I'm gonna lasso me a hyena, and that's it. Jumbo Safari.
Yeah, I remember seeing this game in arcades, and it's like if either you've seen Jumbo Safari in the arcades or you haven't, it's a very unique kind of like looking game in the arcades, and definitely like, you know, oh, I'm gonna go, you know, wrestle me a bear, although it's not really. It's more like safari animals. So, yeah, like, you know, lions and tigers and ligers.
I'm going to catch a hippo.
Exactly, exactly. But it kind of reminds me of, like, Crazy Taxi, but a safari.
Yeah.
I think it's a good way
to put it. Yeah, it really is along the same vein.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's like, you see that rhino over there? I'm going to catch him.
Exactly.
I should have done a Pokemon game like that. Like, Pokemon Snap Arcade.
I wish I never did pick this up on the Wii, and I kind of wish I had. But yeah, I guess you know, maybe it's one of those things that'll come back someday, either on the Switch or something like that. You should tweet Sega immediately and demand Jumbo Safari.
There's other games I'd rather see, but it is fun. I mean, if they did that, it should be like called Let's Safari! !
Plus, it's unique. I think that's one other thing that makes this, like, classic game of the week very suitable is that, you know, you can't think of a lot of games that are about, like, safari animals. Well, maybe the PlayStation 3 classic Africa.
Yeah.
But this isn't that. This is, you know, again, a little more action-packed and a little more arcade fun type of thing.
Exactly.
All right. Well, there it is. Short and sweet. But yeah, I know you're on break tonight. So do you have any final thoughts for our listeners before we head back to the show?
I wish I was on the show right now.
Oh, we miss you. Come back.
What are you throwing?
What's that?
What are you throwing if you're missing?
I'm going to drive my Jumbo Safari.
A party.
The Jeep over there, and I'm going to lasso you in.
Ah, no. Painful. Yeah. Well, I would rather be doing the show, but I got to earn that money.
That's right. Make that money. All right. We'll see you next week, Dark Saga.
All righty. Bye.
Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio live tonight with our 748th episode already in progress for this October the 14th of 2018. Let's get back into some rapid-fire news. We will be opening up the Skype line a little later in our show at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, if you want to give us a call. Is Mr. Smooshes, like, screaming coming through the mics? He's very antsy. I'll go give him some kibble to try to shut him up. So you might have to take the rapid-fire news a little longer tonight, Loki.
All righty. Sounds good. Anyways, so, hey, who likes Commodore 64 games?
Me!
Anyways... as part of the Internet Archive, they've recently added a Commodore 64 emulator, as of last month, actually. And you can actually check out quite a few Commodore 64 games that are on there as well. So in total, they've uploaded, I guess, 15,000 programs, including 9,000 games. The Commodore 64 catalog has quite a bunch of classic games, including Donkey Kong, Ms. Pac-Man, Space Invaders, and whatnot. And they have, like, curated, I guess, like a showcase. So if you want to check out the Commodore 64 and the different games you can play, you can actually go to archive.org/details/software_library_C64_showcase. And you can check out, they have Bubble Bobble, Donkey Kong, Ghostbusters, Ms. Pac-Man, Blood Money, Defender, and Chucky Egg.
Huh. That's amazing. I was just reminiscing about Commodore 64 with a friend this week, so it actually kind of made me want to go and make like go play some more Commodore 64 games and maybe do some streaming or even maybe videos on demand, kind of like the, remember that project Let's Remember I did on YouTube for like a month? Maybe bring that back with some old Commodore 64 games, because such good memories. All that stuff, all those games are great.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So, yeah, check it out if you're interested. And actually, I think there might be more than that available to actually check out. I just loaded up. Yeah, here we go. Yeah, Ghosts and Goblins. Yeah, it's pretty much, I think, the whole library is available. So if you actually go to archive.org/details/software_library_C64_games, you can check out the full library, which is, they have 9,000 results almost, including like Burger Time, Choplifter, Last Ninja. And you can browse through there and find everything that's playable. Oh, BC Quest for Wheat Tire. Oh, wait, BC's Quest for Tires? I thought it was BC's Quest for Wheels. I remember playing that on the ColecoVision.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that game too. BC was a comic strip, if you didn't know. It's about
yeah, I remember the
cavemen and stuff. Yeah,
yeah.
They had a computer game about it, yeah.
Yeah, I used to love that game.
Yeah, it's an awesome, awesome game.
Anyways. All right, and then other fun stuff. This kind of falls along the lines of one of my other interests, which is Lego, and Overwatch now has some new official Lego sets that you can check out. The first one, of course, being the Omnic Bastion set. For $25, you can purchase it via the Blizzard store. It'll also be on sale at BlizzCon. I may have to purchase this. Because I like Legos.
You do like Legos. And Overwatch is pretty sweet. I know you're not a big Overwatch player, but like the characters, the lore, all that stuff is like really cool.
But they have minifigs coming too, so it's not just Bastion.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
I'll have to get D.Va when that happens.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I mean, Alan's like super into Overwatch, but I think Trashion is like one of his not-so-picked players. So I don't know if he'll want to get this, but if they come out with Symmetra, Lucio, Zarya, like one of the characters I know he really loves, like he's a really good Zarya, by the way. So kind of got me to play them more. I need to play more Overwatch. They're doing that Halloween event right now too and everything, and they just reworked Torbjorn, and I played, that was something I did do, Mikey. I didn't talk about it really, but just I just went into the Torbjorn like training mode just to see like how he played now, because I actually really liked Torbjorn before, so I was a little scared of the changes, but it's interesting. They made it so you can kind of, you throw the turret and it self builds now, and then you like shoot lava. It's different. I don't know how I feel yet. I'll have to get in there and actually play it in some matches. But
do you play as the hamster?
Have a wrecking ball. Yeah. I've played as wrecking ball, but I can't really figure out like how to play wrecking ball effectively. So, but you know, Extifer, my old buddy from Horde House, got like a play of the game this week as Wrecking Ball, so I think he's kind of playing that character. I love Wrecking Ball as a character. Well, it's just like I love Tracer as a character, but I can't fucking play her for shit in the game. I can't figure it out. I'm more excited when these characters come over to Heroes of the Storm, because you know they play very, like, not all of them are in Heroes of the Storm, but somebody like Lucio in Heroes of the Storm plays like just like he does in Overwatch, but it's just a different type of game. So it's kind of a neat thing. I don't know. Anyway, all right, moving on with some more rapid fire news. Although, well, you know what? It's kind of a short show so far, so it's probably gonna be a shorter show tonight. So we can spend a little more time on rapid news. Stardew Valley, which I know some of you are addicted to, you can get addicted all over again on mobile. That's right. The publisher of the game, Chucklefish, said that for iOS, it will be released on October 24th, and I'm assuming Android is coming soon after. So for those of you that want to play Stardew Valley on the road, or anyone that somehow hasn't played it yet, you will soon have your opportunity. Also, something you'll have the opportunity for is that Sony finally, officially, officially saying that you will be able to change your PlayStation ID. That's right. It was announced this week starting in early 2019. You can change your old PlayStation Network ID. Part of the news I wouldn't have expected is that the first change will be free. So everybody gets one new free name change, which
That's
is
cool.
cool, I guess. If you want to change it after that, $10 a pop or only $5 if you're with PlayStation Plus. Beta testing is going to begin soon if you're part of the preview program. However, this is interesting. Not all games will support the new ID. So this must have really been some poor planning that Sony is paying for now, because apparently any PS4 game published after April 1st, 2018 will support it. The rest, not guaranteed. However, Sony does say a large majority of the most played PS4 games that were released before, which I would imagine would mean probably anything first party, but they're not going to be able to account for a lot of the third party stuff, especially if they didn't help them with it. And I would imagine like maybe indie stuff may really have a problem as well. So just a heads up. That's so weird to me, but it's just the way it worked behind the scenes. That's just how it happened. They do also say not all games, applications for PS4, PS3, and PS Vita systems are guaranteed to support the online ID change. Users may occasionally encounter issues or errors in certain games. If you experience issues after changing your ID, you can revert back to the original for free at any time. Reverting back to the old ID will resolve most issues caused by the name change. So, in other words, don't change.
Like never change.
If you play,
change is bad.
If you play old stuff, don't change. The thing about this, though, I don't know. I kind of feel like people are making a bigger deal out of this than is necessary. But, you know, it would be unfair of me to sit here and complain about Real ID and not kind of point out the whole this is a little silly too. Because people do change their identities and so forth later on. You know, people want to go, maybe the name they picked when they were 13 years old playing Fortnite isn't quite what they want when they're 21 years old, you know, which PlayStation 3 and 4 and online has been around that long.
Yeah.
Where, you know, some folks that were 12 and 13 when this first rolled out are like in their 20s now and they want to change their damn name. So I get it to that extent, but because of the way Sony's infrastructure was set up, you're not really changing your name, it sounds like, because the old name is like there forever. It's just like there's some type of
we're just calling you something different for now.
Pretty much. So, yeah. And Brad from Pod Culture points out Sky versus Rob Roberts on Twitter. You know, and that's in our chat room. It's a fair call out, but I'm not going to change my PlayStation ID to Rob Roberts. Like, I don't see the need. I'm fine with still being like Sky on consoles. Well, here's the other thing. You know, here's the other reason I don't change. Because PlayStation 4 has all that Facebook integration now.
Yeah.
So, like, even if many of you change your names, I'm never going to see it because I have your Facebook name in my friends list. And that's actually kind of what I prefer. Isn't that funny? Because now I'm going back and saying, I like the real name thing.
but it's
your Facebook name. You can change it whenever you want. You don't have to like call you know, it's a lot easier to do than
it's
it is
also like you have a choice, whereas, you know, it's kind of forced upon you otherwise.
Yeah. So I'm probably just not going to be changing my online username. So, all right, let's travel around the world and check out what's coming out in stores this week. Games that will support these changes because they're after April 1st.
Yes. So, Big Buck Hunter Arcade for Nintendo Switch. Crayola Scoot on PC, Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Apparently, that's an extreme sports game, whatever the fuck that's supposed to be. Lego DC Supervillains on PC, Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. NBA 2K Playgrounds 2 on PC, Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Rapala Fishing Pro Series on the Switch. Starlink, or Star Fox, but still Starlink, Battle for Atlas on the Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Warriors Orochi 4 on PlayStation 4, the Switch, PC, and Xbox One. Let's try to pronounce this one. I think it's Dice Ara Armentis. It's a visual novel game. It's on the Switch. Moto Racer 4 on the Switch. Siberia 3 on the Switch. and let's see, Sinner, Sacrifice for Redemption. That's a weird way to spell that. That's on the Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Dark Souls Remastered on the Switch. And last but not least, Soul Calibur 4 on...
Six.
Six, whatever. Four, six. It's all the same. It's not going to have Yoda in this one?
No, it is not. It's going to have the Witcher guy, Geralt.
That's close enough. That's like Yoda, right?
Close enough. It's close.
Soul Calibur 6 on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One.
By the way, Sia Tiberi would like you to know it's pronounced Diaz Irae.
Diaz Irae.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Traveling to Japan. Probably the big release over there on the PlayStation 4 this week is Soul Calibur 6 on October 18th. I know I am really looking forward to that. That's a fighting series that I enjoy. So to celebrate Soul Calibur 6, you can also get a special arcade stick that's going to be coming out as well. And I believe they do not have a special PlayStation. There's just other types of joysticks. There's like third-party joysticks you can get too. I'm surprised there's not a special PlayStation 4 to celebrate it, but it looks like they don't have that. If Soul Calibur isn't up your alley, then you can look forward to Crystar is another big game that's coming out in Japan this week. Both those games on the 18th. That's really it for the PlayStation 4. I imagine Soul Calibur is kind of a big deal. But over on the Nintendo Switch, you have Dark Souls Remastered getting its Japanese release this week. And there is that Dark Souls figure that comes with that. So your amiibo, for those of you still collecting amiibo. Also, Crash Bandicoot Butobi Sandanmori, which is, of course, the Crash Bandicoot collection. That is coming out on the Switch over there as well. So that's what you have to look forward to. Diaz Irae is also on the Nintendo Switch. That whole game is hitting Japan this week as well. Without Dark Sakura, we have no one to do the UK dates. Maybe you could pick that up, Loki, or maybe Mr. Smush wants to scream it into the mic.
Yeah, he's very interested in doing that.
God, he's having a fit because his other dad's not here.
Oh, okay. Well, in the UK, you're getting Big Buck Hunter Arcade on the Switch, Starlink, Battle for Atlas on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and the Switch, Dark Souls Remastered on the Switch, Warriors Orochi 4 on the Switch, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, Siberia 3 on the Switch, Project Hi-Rise Architects Edition on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and the Switch, and let's see, Soul Calibur 6 on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, and we have Crayola Scoot on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and the Switch, Luigi's Mansion on 3DS, and Lego DC Supervillains, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and the Switch. Motor Racer 4 on the Switch. And finally, Grave Danger on PlayStation 4 and the Switch. Lots of Switch games.
So the chat over at live.vognetwork.com is lighting up going, poor Mr. Smush, give him attention. Nobody loves him except for all his internet fans. Give him a mic. Okay, first off, we love Mr. Smush. You know that. Shut up. But I don't... I could call him over here. He's not a dog. He's not going to come over here. Cats do whatever the hell they want. So I wouldn't be able to get him over here on a mic even if I could. Oh. Other dad just got home, and so now Mr. Smush will be following him around like crazy. I just sent Alan a message going, he's being a terror. Okay, you guys, Alan's here and he'll take care of Mr. Smush, but sadly no Mike, because you can't make cats do anything, and you all know that. You cat lovers know it. Cats do what they want. You don't own the cat. The cat owns you. Let's get to the email, because you guys own us with your thoughts and opinions every week with your emails. If you want to send us emails, participate@orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send your emails. And we read your emails here live on air. We have two emails tonight, and the first one to us comes from YYR, who's continuing on his DDR adventures and questions for you, Loki, from a previous episode. So let's start. YYR starts us off tonight. Hello, LR. Thanks, as always, for the show. For promoting my crude-looking games, they're retro, YYR, and for reading and responding to these emails of mine. In response to the in-depth discussion that was had last week regarding Loki's DDR progress, or lack thereof, I'll make a few suggestions. Loki, you can follow them or not, based on how much you're looking to build your skills, if at all. And you can find out by following Loki on Twitch, at Loki.
We'll see what my skills are and how I stumble about, but I don't use the bar.
Maybe you'll have to start. Who knows? YYR might be your first Twitch subscriber when you hit that affiliate status. Anyway, YYR continues. In my typical two sessions per week, I personally find it difficult to focus both on single and double skill building within the same session. If I'm seriously looking to improve, I have to focus on one or the other. I do try to switch between them regularly, though, because I definitely find that skill building in one style does help the other, for me at least. For example, I learned how to do crossovers properly in single by playing double. It sounds to me like you do ultimately want to focus on double, which is fantastic, but that you've hit a wall. My recommendation is that you focus a bit more on single at the moment in an effort to practice foot speed and streams, with the goal being to break into the upper 8, lower 9 range. Because doubles charts have similar density and patterns to their single counterparts, this should help prepare you to break through the wall and eventually reach the same point on double. Which, you know, if you are playing doubles, yeah. Loki, you're not going to use the bar anyway. You can't really... Well, I take that back.
Yeah, you say that, but I've seen that.
If your legs are big enough, you can do it, but that's...
My legs are not big enough. Yeah. It's not an option.
Yeah. Some specific charts. YYR getting into the theory of all game... Ooh. This is game theory. Anyway, some specific charts to work on or work towards could include the heavy difficulties of B-Lovin, DXY, Xenon, La Senorita Virtual, and Do You Remember Me? So for those that are not as well-versed in DDR, those are all songs in the game. Also, I would encourage you to try the standard difficulties of the boss stages. In other words, anything with Survivor or Max in the title except for Trip Machine Survivor. These are much easier than the heavy versions, but retain the high speed, so they make for great practice. If any of this sounds unattainable, well, that's good, because it will make it much more satisfying when you do nail it. Just remember, everyone thought Max 300 looked impossible the first time they saw it, myself included. But now, even as I'm turning 39 next month, one of my goals is to get a perfect full combo on that very same Max 300 expert chart on DDR Ace. I think the best way to improve at DDR is to set goals that seem like they're just a little bit out of reach, then work towards them as best you can. Good luck. I'll end by expressing my disappointment at something that I believe was missing from last week's episode. It is true that there were a few mentions, but I was looking for a full segment containing news and updates covering everything new in the world of Bowsette. On the Orange Lounge Radio website, the subtitle proclaims, "News that gamers really want to know." Well, I'm gamer, and I want to know about the latest Bowsette innovations, cosplays, and especially dank memes. So please implement this new segment starting next week. Well... YYR, when it comes to Bowsette, all I have to say is that's fake news, and we don't talk about fake news that gamers really want to know about. Thank you, as always, for listening to our feedback and implementing it into the show. Have a great week. Lots of love. YYR. P.S. Yes, the ridiculous request for a Bowsette segment was made specifically so we could all hear Rob's reaction. You're welcome. Fake news. Fake reaction. All right. Moving on. It's not that I hate Bowsette. Let's talk about this for a minute. Can we talk? Can we talk? We're going to talk. It's not that I hate Bowsette. I hate what you've all done with it. There's a difference. There's a big difference. Did you see the trailer for the Bowsette porn that hit the web this week? Or maybe it was last
week?
Which
one?
See the exactly. Exactly. Delete it. Moving on. One more email tonight from Frodo Swaggins, who sends us like a it's like a Twitter-sized email, basically. So Frodo Swaggins sends us an email that says, "Loki, you were just elected the president of Nintendo. What are your plans for Nintendo's future?" Frodo Swaggins. That's it. That's the email. So I love it. Okay. Short and to the point. Frodo Swaggins doesn't have time to fuck around here. It also actually, P.S., sent from Yahoo Mail on Android. So they were on a mobile device when they did it.
No, Yahoo Mail was on Android.
Yeah. Oh, now you know. The more you know. Anyway, so one more time. You were just elected the president of Nintendo, because that's how presidents get put in place. We'll elected by the
it
board.
It really should be. I mean, that's...
What are your plans for Nintendo's future? Congratulations on your promotion,
Logan.
That's
awesome.
What are you doing day one? What are we doing?
Day one? Well, first off, we're totally announcing a new F-Zero game.
Good.
And then number two, of course, we're announcing, you know, Waluigi for Smash.
Okay, I like where this is going. How about a cease and desist on Bowsette on the internet?
Oh, she's going in Smash.
Oh, fuck off.
Why not?
Fine. Luigi and Bowsette and Smash, fine.
But no, if we really want to piss off the fans, you know, in Nintendo style, what we'll do is we'll do our own version of Bowsette that's totally like just, mm-hmm. you know, more Bowser than Bowsette, you mm-hmm. know, less boobs, more dinosaur turtle thing.
Sure.
So we can do that. What else? Mother 3. Got to localize that, of course. Yeah, basically what everybody else wants. Yeah.
Going into it's kind of less than I would have thought. I would have thought you would have had this whole spiel and 10-point plan about what to do about online.
My lack of a plan for online is still better than their plan for online.
Okay. So. Hold yourself for this. Here we go. Because I got this question in chat at live.fognetwork.com. Act Deft in chat says, Rob Roberts, you get the Peachette crown and are elected new president of Nintendo. What do you do? All right, I'm going to do two things. Number one, I'm going to ban Bowsette from the internet. Cease and desist all the websites.
But you have the Peachette crown. So.
That's my first step. Second step, I sell the company to Microsoft. Now online will finally be figured out. Done. Mic drop. End of... That's it. I sell the company to Microsoft and give everybody what they've always wanted. The super company that has... Why didn't I sell it to Sony? Because a little more interesting competition if I sell it to Microsoft. Microsoft's having problems breaking in Japan. Microsoft can help out with the online. There's a little more of a help me help you situation there. There it is.
President Cat localized.
Oh, yes. Yes, and then President Cat localized on my way out the door. And new F-Zero game. I guess I have more than two things I want to do. All right. Anyway, thank you for the emails. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you want to send us an email for a future week. Those are fun. Let's get into some more news stories. Lokis.
All right. So this is pretty awesome. So they've got this whole... basically, you can get a different version of the Legends. Well, I wouldn't say it's a different version, but it's a tweaked starting save for The Legend of Zelda. They call it The Legend of Zelda Life of Luxury, or Living the Life of Luxury. It's apparently a version of Zelda that you can get through the whole NES library on the Switch Online app, which allows you to start off the original Legend of Zelda, which originally you start with nothing, and you have to, you know, get a sword from a man and continue the game through that. But you start off with a lot more stuff. So you start off with the white sword, a magical shield, blue ring, power bracelet, blue candle, and a red potion, a piece of meat, three extra heart containers, as well as a ton of rupees, bombs, and keys. It's like basically Bobby Blackwolf mode of The Legend of Zelda. And you get to play the game that way. And then, of course, if you beat the game, then you can get the second quest type thing. Neat idea. I wonder if I can get my kids to play Zelda this way, but I don't know.
It's kind of, I mean, you know, I checked out the Switch Online this week, and it was cool to see the Solomon's Key and this dodgeball and the whatever golf game they added that I don't plan on playing. But, you know, the other two games are cool to see. And then, it was kind of like this extra little bonus, like Zelda SP. Obviously, Twitter ruined it for me, so I knew it was coming, but I thought, that's kind of interesting. What do you think? I mean, and basically all it is, it's like either a ROM save state or like a game genie-fied version. Because what's interesting about it is that when you start it, you completely bypass the title screen. Have you actually gone in to check it out? So you don't see the title
screen. It sounds like a save state.
Kind of, doesn't it?
Like a modified save state.
That's what it feels like. It feels like a modified save state. I mean, and I don't know how they did it, but seeing as Nintendo...
But like, so what happens when you go to those dungeons with those things in there? Is that just like...
I don't know. I haven't played that far into it yet, so I don't know if they're not there or what. I'm thinking that's going to be my after-show stream tonight, is I'm going to play through that and kind of answer some of those questions about where do those items go? What happens when you go to those places? So we'll take a look at that later tonight. But it doesn't give you everything because you don't get the magic sword. And yeah, and I think the bow is in one of those levels. So I think it gives you like everything you can buy from merchants, but I'm not sure it gives you the stuff in the levels. You might still have to play through the levels and all that stuff. But it's still interesting that Nintendo is kind of padding the online library with this stuff. I mean, okay, it's kind of it's a bit of a throwaway, but it's not, it is something, Loki, where it's not just a straight up emulation of an old game. You know what I mean? Like, it's something like, oh, Nintendo did something
different. Give us some ROM hacks. We need some, like, ROM hacks of, like, you know, Mario games or Metroid or something. Is Metroid in there already?
I believe it's on the upcoming. I think it's next month's big game. It's next month. Yeah, but who knows? You know, maybe Nintendo is planning to do this to pad the library.
So I would
with
go for
special...
an easy mode in Metroid. I'm down with that.
Yeah. Well, that's why we had good old passcodes back in the day, like Justin Bailey underscore.
Oh, that's
and all
true.
That's,
yeah, that should still work.
Yeah, all those old passwords should still work. So if you have an old ass password from the NES days, they should still work. I mean, the game's programming has not changed or any of that, so you could use a lot. But there's no reason. I mean, would and again, it wouldn't take much effort on Nintendo's part. Why not just like if you start Metroid, have it go use save password for regular Metroid or for special Metroid that you play as Samus, like basically Justin Bailey or whatever, or you play as you know what I mean, Samus without the suit, or that you start with like all the items and stuff, like a super code that you can go right to Mother Brain or whatever. I mean. Maybe that's a direction Nintendo's exploring that we see going on here with this Zelda hack that's
been released. I wish we'd get more NES Remix stuff.
You know what's funny is over in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com, they're kind of talking about NES Remix. Let's see. What was... Oh, yes. ActDev says, you know, with this, when are we getting NES Remix for NES Online? You never know. That could be something. Tiger Claw follows that up with, the real question is, when are we getting SNES Remix? Never say never. So,
yeah,
but I thought this was an interesting direction for Nintendo with the, you know, it's something different besides just the game. And it's not much, but it's like, oh, that's an interesting thing that they did.
Yeah.
So I'll be curious to see if they do this with other games in the coming weeks. Anyhow, so I joked earlier about how I would sell Nintendo to Microsoft. I wasn't being serious, you guys, just so we're clear. but Microsoft is certainly going to buy as many studios as they can to really get those first parties and give them an edge in the next generation of games. And it sounds like this next one could be a doozy. Microsoft is finalizing a deal to acquire Obsidian Entertainment, which, you know, Obsidian Entertainment made Pillars of Eternity 2, and they made some pretty big games. Apparently, there's been some people briefed on negotiations and it leaked to the press, but, you know, we don't know if it's a done deal yet. Apparently, one person said it's 90% finished. It's not a matter of when, it's if, and so on. Some of the other big games that Obsidian's worked on, Knights of the Old Republic 2, Fallout New Vegas, and, of course, Pillars of Eternity. So, of course, Microsoft gave the good old, we do not comment on rumors or speculation when they were called out on it. But, I mean, where there's smoke, there's fire. Apparently, there's three different sources cluing in that this is happening, and this could be a pretty big deal. What do you think?
I think it's not unexpected because they've been purchasing a ton of different studios. I'd just like to see what's coming out of all these studio purchases.
Well, I don't think we'll know that for a little bit. You know, we won't really know until the next box, whenever that is. But it's interesting nonetheless. I love Obsidian's response to this, by the way. Obsidian said, unfortunately, we don't comment on rumors or speculation other than to say that the Rumors album by Fleetwood Mac still holds up. That was their official comment.
That's hilarious.
It's a bummer Lindsey Buckingham ain't touring with them, and Fleetwood Mac is just, in the year 2018, they are just as much of a dramatic mess as they were back in the day. This is what happens when you're in your 70s and you do a lot of drugs. All right, let's move on. Loki.
All right. So the Brazilian government is calling for the removal of some violent far-right games from Steam. So they have, you know, right now there's been this whole thing on Steam where they just said, listen, we're not going to really police anything unless it's, you know, straight-up trolling, but we're just going to let everything onto the service. And because of that, now you're getting all sorts of, like, weird shit on there. So there's this thing called Bolsomito 2K18, where you play as Bolsonaro, and he punches and stomps on black LGBTQ and political rival protesters. So you're beating up minorities and stuff like that. And basically, you know, there's this whole thing in the beginning. Defeat the communistic evils in this disrespectful game and be the hero that will free the nation from misery.
It just sounds like more trash that they've unloaded on Steam. More garbage. But I think it's interesting that now the government is stepping in, basically telling Steam, like, I mean, not our government, but the Brazilian government is stepping in to basically tell Steam to fucking, like, clean up their shop. You know what I mean?
Yeah, basically because there's, you know, saying this can, like, incite violence or, yeah. you know, it's just that they're promoting this type of thing, so.
That Steam, by selling it, is promoting it.
Which, and yeah, I mean, you can't really argue that they're not promoting this stuff because you're allowing it on your marketplace.
Right.
It's essentially, as I've heard the descriptions, like, if you're allowing, like, people to bring in, like, feces and place it on your store shelves. It's like you went to your favorite supermarket and people are just placing.
You don't see that at Walmart today.
You're placing just like straight up.
You and I don't shop at the
feces
same Walmart.
In a box, you know, on the store shelves, and they're like, yeah, we're cool with that. You know, I mean, you can't be upset when someone says you can't put feces on your store shelves and sell it as food. That's not
going to
work.
Rules and laws against
we have,
that.
It's going to violate some health codes or something. So you can't do that. You know, that's basically what the Steam storefront is right now. It's just they're letting anything up. Wait a second. Is that trolling? No, it's not trolling. It's feces. Oh, okay. Well, that's fine.
Fifth Dream in chat says, feces are us. You know, why not? And Sia Tabiri, of course, mentions, usually that's in a plastic bag and in the garden section.
But it's not being, well, it's being sold as
gotcha, because Target got rid of all their garden sections. I think most Walmarts did too, right? I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
New gardens nowadays. You gotta, like...
The point is, it's about Steam. And the point is that, look, and I get a lot of people are like, we're becoming too politically correct in our society and people are so sensitive and all this stuff. But, like, this is some shit that crosses a very obvious line. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this isn't about, like, maybe a tasteless joke or something like that. This is about, like, beating up people that are, like, correct me if I'm wrong, like, this is, like, beating up minorities and people. Like, it's not cool. Like, it's, like, violence and shit. It's not okay. Right?
Right.
That's what we're talking about in this game. So, and this is why the government of Brazil has stepped in and said, no, not in this country. You're not selling this, which is what they're doing. They're selling that stuff. So,
On a side tangent.
Oh, boy.
That I completely forgot in my gaming week.
Oh, boy.
I checked out that Naked Fighter game. It is garbage.
Oh, from last week?
It is garbage because it's basically it's like a turn-based. So you create your stupid characters and you put them like against each other. And then you watch them fight. And it's the most boring fucking piece. I seriously like sat there for a couple minutes. And the fight was still not over yet. And I'm like, this is boring. And I deleted the whole game. I'm like, this is fucking dumb.
Only video games can make nudity boring.
Seriously. It's like, it's dumb. It's so boring at that point. The game is just garbage. Yeah, I get it. Ha ha ha. It's naked people. But the game is garbage.
But isn't that, okay, that's like any mod, like a Skyrim mod that makes everybody naked or Mario. I'm sure there's a Mario 64 mod that makes everybody naked and all that stuff.
Yeah, Bowsette in there.
Anyway, but isn't it one of those things where it's like, haha, they're naked. And then it's like, that's it. That's it.
But that never gets boring in Skyrim. Skyrim is a fun game. And adding the nudity on top of that is just the icing of the cake.
But when
all your cake is just, it's icing covering feces, you know, then you can't, it's not, that does not make a cake.
Moving on. I've had it. Let's talk about Dragon Quest on the 3DS, or lack thereof, because Dragon Quest XI didn't come out on the 3DS and here in this country. And a lot of us were left wondering, well, why? Because it looked kind of awesome with the retro and all this stuff. Well, apparently, there's a statement from Yu Miyake, who's the executive producer of the Dragon Quest series, talking about Nintendo 3DS re-releases and saying they were popular in Japan, but they didn't sell as well as they hoped in the West. Dragon Quest X hasn't released overseas, says the quote. The 3DS games weren't that popular overseas, and some folks jumped from Dragon Quest VIII all the way to Dragon Quest XI, basically indicating that Dragon Quest IX, which was 3DS exclusive, if I remember correctly, didn't sell that well over here and may indicate why Dragon Quest XI they didn't feel like doing over here. Hopefully still that Switch version is going to end up happening over here. Because I know for me, I think I've moved on from the DS to the Switch. I do kind of wish Nintendo would take the 3DS out back and shoot it already. But I mean, I got it a little more when the Switch was first launching and we weren't sure if it was going to be a success. But I think it's safe to say now it's a success, so they can retire the 3DS. It's okay.
Yeah.
Let it go. But We all know that's not happening because there's still the Luigi's Mansion remake and Lord knows what else. So anyway, Fifth Dream in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, save it for Switch. I want to jump back quickly to your last story about the game that got Brazil's attention. Kaijudo in chat says, the PC argument is bullshit. Us sane people know how to follow work rules, school rules, restaurant rules, movie theater rules. The internet is no different. It has rules. Follow them. That's a good point. You know, yes, we have free speech, but I'm sure you all know free speech is A, not freedom from consequence. Free speech has nothing to do with the place of private business and so forth.
Yeah.
Brazil is a different country with their own laws, and I'm not up to up on their constitution and what governs their country. I apologize, but maybe free speech isn't the same thing there. But anyway.
Well, I think it's just, it's still, it's hate speech.
Exactly. Well, my point is, you don't yell fire in a crowded theater because that's, free speech does not allow you to do that. You know what I mean? You're still at a private place of business, and not only are you breaking all sorts of societal laws, but you're basically, you know, you're being an asshole.
Don't be an asshole.
Exactly. If only more people just kind of knew that inherently, right?
It's weird that you have to tell somebody.
I know, right? But, I mean, you're raising kids. Do you have to educate your kids? Don't be a little asshole.
Yes.
And it's not always easy, is it? just like my cat. Stop being a little asshole. Unfortunately, the cat doesn't speak English, so it's hard to communicate.
Yeah, but the cats know that they're being assholes.
That's
true. My cat does that all the time.
That's true.
Like, you'll pay attention to her, you'll pet her, you'll cuddle with her, and she gets up off your lap and then goes wakes up the kids. It's like, what the fuck is your problem? Like, scratches at their doors. Like,
cat knows.
Why are you doing that? I am paying attention. I'm giving you all the things you want. I gave you your food. I gave you your treats.
And this is the thanks I get.
And instead, you're just like, fuck you. I'm scratching at the door. I'm going to wake them up and piss you off. Ha, 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 ha. More treats for me. I don't think she understands what she's supposed to be doing.
All right, just a couple more stories for you guys before we go to the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype.
So this is a pretty awesome mod, but there's somebody that made a custom Mario 64 mod called Portal 64, and it's, like you would think, it's Mario 64 with portals, thinking with portals. So it's got all the usual suspects, you know, the portal gun. They've even got, like, a companion cube that's in one of these. There's the cores following you around. Instead of the castle, Peach's castle, you have Aperture Labs. Still collecting stars and whatnot, but it's pretty cool. Like, you can use the portals for different jumps and things. I'm not sure where you can necessarily download it yet, because I think it's still being worked on. But it's pretty cool to check out. It is by a guy... Emmanuel, I think. I can't see what his YouTube page is here. Yeah, Kaze Emmanuel.
Mods are pretty amazing in the things that people do with them, isn't it?
Yeah, it's he calls it Portal 3, but it's basically Portal 64.
You wish.
it's pretty functional for a mod. I mean, it's pretty awesome. So
yeah, no, that is rad. And it's especially not just that you're modding like a current game, but you're going back and you're modding. And what is it about Mario 64 that is always thinking? Because I feel like just like 3 months ago,
we had Mario 64 Maker and like.
Well, and then the Battle Royale in Mario 64 or something.
That
right?
was awesome. Yeah, the online one.
Where they put Waluigi in there and all that stuff.
Yeah, they had
online.
Nintendo
shut that shit down.
Mario
fast.
64 online. It came back though, I think.
Well, yeah, it's the internet. It's whack-a-mole. Nintendo C&D is one side.
I mean,
it comes up somewhere else.
It was awesome. I wish that's something like when they eventually add stuff to, you know, Mario 64, that I hope that they, you know, add online functionality or something like that to like the Nintendo collection or whatever they're doing, NES library, whenever they move past the NES.
Well, that's the type of stuff Nintendo, instead of the Zelda with all the rupees enabled, that's the type of thing they should be doing, huh?
Right. I mean, yeah. if some Joe nobody that has no idea how you program the game, I mean, can do it, then why can't you do it? Oh, that's right, because it's online. I forgot.
Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Dungeon Buster says there's a neat mod or ROM hack out there that blended Zelda A Link to the Past with Super Metroid and a randomizer. You know, those randomizers are really the rage on Twitch. I was watching our buddy Breslow streaming Zelda randomizer. It was this morning or last night, one of those things. And it was weird because, like, it basically made, like, any shop or level entrance could be anything. Like, you might go to the level entrance for level one, and it's the old lady who gives you a letter. Or something, like, completely different. So he has to actually hunt around for the different levels. It was interesting.
Yeah, normally the ones I've seen in the randomizers haven't been with the doors. It was just the items in the chests. The chests were all randomized. So you might go someplace and where you might get the sword, you might get something else.
Would that work, though? Because wasn't Zelda sort of built where, like, you have to have the item in one dungeon to get to the next dungeon?
Like the original Zelda?
Yeah.
I
thought that was a thing.
Maybe. They might have some sort of safe guards for that, but this is a Link to the Past is what I was...
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, oh yeah, I've seen the Link to the Past randomizer. I have seen that.
Yeah, but the Link to the Past randomizer, though, with Super Metroid would be awesome. I hope we see the next you know, one or either the upcoming, you know, Game Zone Quick or Summer Game Zone Quick.
They're just throwing all this stuff in a blender now, seeing what they can come up with. It's pretty cool, though. I like all this, like, retro stuff. I do wish Nintendo kind of officially embraced this a little more. Maybe this whole Zelda thing that they did on the Switch is them kind of showing, like, we might be open to something a little different. I mean, I would. Can you imagine if Nintendo, like, fully embraced, like, a Zelda randomizer as a thing? That would be fucking rad.
It would be.
I think people would be really into that. And then it would also, instead of all these unofficial hacks and stuff out there, not that there's anything wrong with that because the community's created a beautiful thing, but for Nintendo to, like, officially endorse that and take that on would create a benchmark.
Or imagine
a baseline.
Allowing, like, mod support for some of these games.
Yeah.
Like, just maybe not, you know, maybe we can police it where it's not, like, nudie mods and shit, but it's just, like, you know, these randomizers or...
What about the good things mods
did? More difficult maps or different maps, like brand new maps or something. You know?
Yeah, yeah. All right, anyhow, our last story tonight before we open up the Skype line, although I will go to Loki for last-minute news, too. Guess what? A new company has started a gaming division. That's right. There's apparently KFC Gaming. That's right. Kentucky Fried Chicken.
They did KFC have that weird VR game.
Is getting into gaming. All right. And, of course, a lot of people are kind of doing, oh, this is a throwback. Remember Yonoid? On the NES, which was – that was Domino's thing years ago, right?
Yeah, or Cool Spot on the Super
there
NES.
There was.
Cool Spot was – or actually it was on Genesis too.
One of the greatest games they ever released on Xbox 360, Sneak King, Burger King's games.
All their games
those
are
awesome.
I only have Pocket Bike Racer. I don't know what happened to my Sneak King. I would have never sold it, so I don't know what happened.
Man, Sneak King was so good. So
it
anyway.
It was great, and they should have put out more games. Come on. Come on, guys. Like, I'd even settle for, like, a Sneak King mobile game.
So anyway, apparently KFC now has a gaming division, so maybe we're going to see some type of game from them in the future. And then this particular story has a picture of the new spokesperson for the new Colonel Sanders, who I believe – isn't that Reba? That's Reba McIntyre that plays the Colonel
now. I thought she was a few – I don't know. I can't keep track of who's playing the Colonel nowadays, but I know she was
– It's always changing.
It is.
Yeah. So anyway, just we'll see what game could Kentucky Fried Chicken come up with. By the way, I'm going to open up the Skype line over Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If you want to give us a call, the phone lines are open. If you want to do it the old fashioned way, 1-877-GAME-OLR. But Skype's probably better. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. But what was I going to say? What kind of game would you want to see KFC make? How about like a Mario? How about a Mario Kart game, but you're racing drumsticks?
I would want to see whatever crazy shit they could come up with. Because remember, they had the whole VR game that was like supposed to be a training game.
Yeah,
that was fucking weird. I'm down with the fucking weird. You know, if it's fast food, make it as strange as fucking possible.
Bob Coffee in chat suggests KFC versus Taco Bell. Well, and isn't...
I don't need a versus game. Well, unless it's a fighting game, in which case I'm down with the mascots fighting.
Doesn't the same parent company own KFC, Taco Bell, and I think Pizza Hut are all the same? Like,
yeah,
Yum
PepsiCo.
Brands, it's called. Oh, yeah, that's right. They're all Pepsi.
Pepsi man. He runs everything.
There's the secret. It's like the final boss you have to get in the game. I thought I saw a call coming through, but then it disappeared. But the Skype line is open at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. Dark Tetsuya saying BK did a racing game, if I recall correctly. And yeah,
Pocket Bike Racer.
That was the one you owned, right? Anyway, we do have a call, so let's go to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Ranma.
Hey, Ranma, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
I am fantastic. What's on your mind tonight?
A few things, and I'll be on my merry little way. Now, if you tune into our show over at Anime Jam Session, mm-hmm. if you listen sometimes throughout the episode, You will hear Mako-chan's cat Damien scream his little head off.
I'm glad it's not just us that's having cat issues during the show.
No. It's like when we're doing our how was your week, how was your day, sometimes as we're going through our routine, you'll hear this cat meowing. We all stop and go, hi, Damien.
And that's because the cat wants to play on how was your week, how was your day.
Something like that. Plus, he's putting himself right on Mako-chan's like shoulders going, my human.
I miss that segment. That's what we used to call it, you know?
Yeah.
Back before OLR was strictly video games, we used to call it how was your week, how was your day.
Well, like I said, a lot of what Anime Jam Session does was heavily inspired by OLR, which, as I've said, we're like the bratty kid sister, kid brother of the show.
And I love it, but I'm also speaking to you through that cat.
And I believe it, every single minute of it.
What else is on your mind, buddy?
Now, I know Loki mentioned DDR earlier, so I gotta know. What is y'all's go-to song for DDR?
It's Rain and Men by Jerry Howell. No, that's what you want me to say. No, it depends what mix I'm playing. I always liked the ones that were very, like, constant stream of notes was a good warm-up. So when fourth mix was all the rage, I always thought Kick the Can was a great warm-up song.
Oh, yeah, I love Kick the Can.
You know, obviously, it's for one, it's got that great little dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. You know, it's obviously the old, you know, classic tune that's incorporated the dance song. But it was just, like, that constant stream of eighth notes made, like, a really good warm-up song. But that song isn't around in newer mixes.
No.
So
like fourth mix and fourth.
Yeah, plus. But that was like my go-to warm-up. I used to do Ghosts when that was available, when we had a Max machine, but that's no longer available. I'm not sure what I would do on an Extreme machine these days. That's the machine that you have in your house, right? You have a Dance Dance Revolution Extreme?
Yes.
What's it? Do you have like a same go-to starter song that you do every day?
I play nonstop random mixes, so it's whatever comes up. If I'm playing just like actual songs, I don't know. It just depends what kind of a mood I'm in. I mean, usually I like Last Message or 1998 is pretty good, or Dance Dance Revolution.
You know what
Fantasy.
Song? You know what song I will still rock in DDR Extreme to this day? My answer, Butterfly.
I can see it.
The
Butterfly steps are really... I play that once in a while because it'll come up on the nonstop or whatever, but... Like, the steps for doubles are kind of... They're mirrored. So, like, you do one pattern, then it mirrors it, and you do it again. It's just like... Oh, it's kind of boring.
Kick the Can would be my real answer, though, if it's a machine that has that.
I like that.
Oh, and I also like... What was the other one? So in Love has actually got some pretty fun steps to play. I don't know.
Man, y'all want me to get a DDR machine. Or this is making me want to get a DDR machine more and more, but, you know, it's just not in the cards right now, maybe in the future.
Well, I mean, you could kind of build your own Step Mania machine and just kind of make your way up, you know?
Yeah, I guess that's true. You know, it would be about kind of getting it's all about that right dance pad that isn't going to, like, fuck up your floor.
Well, or if you want to spend a ton of money, you can always buy those Step Maniacs
ones.
At
that point, why not just buy the fucking game?
Yeah, you probably should try.
Honestly, that's my thought. Anyway,
so true, so true.
Yeah, SSGO100 Matt in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Absolutely right. It will be Mr. Smoosh's DDR machine. That is absolutely right.
Surprisingly enough, my cat does not give a shit about the DDR machine.
Really?
Yeah. She
is it
does
because
not lay on it.
Does the cat not enjoy the garage? Maybe
she loves the garage. She likes sleeping in a paint tray that's in our like our shelving. We like store our paints in like a shelving unit, and so she's hidden back there, and she'll sleep in those like a paint tray, not the four beds we have in the house, but the paint tray. But she won't touch the cabinet. She won't sleep near it or anything. I think it's because it's too cold. She likes the warmth, and especially in the summer. Like it's like 100 degrees out there, and she'll go to sleep out there. Even in the winter, though, she'll come out there sometimes. And sleep, but no, never touches the machine. But I think it's because it's all metal and it's cold, so she doesn't like it.
Interesting. Anything else on your mind tonight, Rama?
One more thing, and we'll be on a merry little way.
Okay.
On behalf of Anime Jam Session, we understand some of the issues and how some things in OLR and gaming can cross over with anime and Anime Jam Session. So in regards to YYR's email, we will gladly sponsor This Week in Bowsette for Orange Lounge Radio.
Have a great night, Rama. It was good to hear from you. I just don't understand why it's everywhere. It's like you can't escape it. Like, somebody showed me a fucking video. It was like they took New Super Mario Brothers Wii U or whatever. It was one of the New Super Mario Brothers games in the level where Bowser chases you in the castle, and they made it Bowsette. Why? Because they can.
There's also a mod for Breath of the Wild where you can play as Bowsette.
Yippee!
I can't explain it. Sometimes I can't. Sometimes I cannot. It's just something that everybody is loving, and, you know... Last week, there was a comic somebody drew of all the popular meme waifus telling Bowsette, enjoy your 15 minutes of fame while you can before you get tossed in the trash.
Put me in that picture.
That's Breath of the Wild, though, footage. Her dress is doing some weird physics, man. That's all I got to say.
SSJ100 Matt in our chat points out the real exciting news of the week is that Rob will be coming back to New York City soon. Yes, with the news that Lady Gaga may be in a Broadway play, my good Judy Victoria down in LA is like, we're going to New York City. We're going to see this fucking play with Gaga. If it's true, they haven't officially announced that yet, but I'm really overdue for a New York visit. Alan's never been, and he really wants to go sometime. So I think Toronto's like for sure next year, and I really want to work in New York City. I'm not going to do MAGFest, which I know is sad, but that frees me up to be able to do some other stuff. So that's kind of the thought process there.
I'm perfectly okay with that because Mako-chan wants to meet you and Alan. She wants to add you two to her collection.
Well, I'm already an honorary member, I would hope. But yes, officially it would be nice.
Yes. Remember, there was an episode way back when of Ask Orange Lounge where she did ask. But now, a picture of you together, it'll be official.
Yeah, we'll make it official. We will. We'll get ring pops and everything.
Don't give her any ideas. You don't know.
Look out, bitch. I'll get her a Bowser crown. Then you'll really be sorry for inflicting that on the internet. All right.
Cosplays Daisy to my Luigi. Don't give her more of an inflated head than she already has.
SS200 Matt says, it's been over 10 years since Rob has come to New York. I had hair when Rob was in New York last. So did I. All right. Anyway, Rama, I'm going to let you go. Thanks for the call.
All right. Take care, bros. Right,
bye. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype if you want to get through. Loki, any last minute stories?
Well, you took both of my Bowsette stories. So I guess I can't read those now.
Gosh, I'm so upset.
Oh, darn. So I guess the annual Desert Bus for Hope is starting, going to be soon. November 9th, they're going to be starting at 10 a.m., and apparently they're starting their fundraising. So last year they raised... last year they raised $650,000 or 158 hours for Child's Play. So maybe they'll top it again. We'll see.
Good cause.
Yep. And then, of course, the Mortal Kombat trilogy apparently is having a fan remake. Apparently people are redoing the graphics in the game, doing like an HD remaster type of thing.
Why? I don't get it. Are they redigitizing the characters or something?
It looks like that they might be doing that, or like I don't know if they're filming different characters or something. What they're doing is there says the fan project's been under development since 2011. It started as a Mugen project, and it's not going to be one soon. It says a pixel perfect arcade remake of the original Mortal Kombat trilogy using new 3D models created from the original Mortal Kombat games, from all of the behind the scenes clips, from massive scale.
Oh, because. Tobias or Boone, one of those guys on Twitter, was putting out like videos of the motion capture from back in the day. So somebody must have like picked that up and was like, we can make HD video out of this. That's interesting. Wow.
Yeah. So
Tiger Claw actually links a video of the HD remix. I kind of want to see this. I don't like to usually play YouTube's live on air, but we're running a little short tonight, so I'll play this. Wow. That does look really good compared to the original. Yeah, they kind of went back and redid the backgrounds. That's the other important part. Like, they totally went back and redid those backgrounds. Okay, so this is a Scorpion and a Sub-Zero, which obviously is just the same with a palette swap. But they're in that stage where Shang Tsung is sitting in the background. Huh. Okay, I got to give it to him. That looks pretty freaking good. Ooh, where's the fatality? Ooh, the fatality's at the end. Gross. Wow, they made that HD too. Okay. I'm curious to see what they come up with there. Thanks for that link for YouTube. That's the first I've heard of that.
Yeah, so it's pretty neat.
Well, one more call for calls to see if anybody wants to get through. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. Anything else for last minute stories?
Someone's trying to remake the single player campaign of GoldenEye in Unreal 4.
Again? Didn't we have a remake on like the Wii?
Well, we have like an official remake that we did. But no, this is someone else doing it now.
All right, fair enough.
Fan.
Well, GoldenEye is one of those things where it's like, I play, or not me personally, but I've heard people say, I play first-person shooters because of GoldenEye. Like, GoldenEye got me into this. So, you know, people have a lot of love for that game. So I'm not surprised people want to go back and play the classic.
Why don't we have a GoldenEye Battle Royale game yet? Guys are slow.
Licensing nightmare. That's the problem.
Oh, fan game. Licensing.
Yeah, but they can't call it GoldenEye. And if you don't call it GoldenEye, people are going to be like, Golden Spy. what would you call it? Jim Band Golden Spy. I don't know what you'd do. Anyway. All right. Well, I guess nobody else is trying to call. So that's it. That's going to do it for tonight's Orange Lounge Radio. A little bit shorter, but that's the way it goes sometimes. Some weeks are bigger than others. We'll be back in 7 days to do it all over again. But in the meantime, I'm going to say, as I always do, thank you so much for listening to the show. Thank you for taking time out of your week to be here with us on Sunday night. Or if you're listening to us on the podcast feed, that's always appreciated as well. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or two about the show and help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices aren't here to air, then what are we going to do? So, yeah, there's that. That's it. That's all I have to say. Loki, any final thoughts for you tonight?
My final thought is that hopefully I'm going to be streaming on Twitch soon, so just
good luck.
Waiting on my hardware to come in.
That's exciting. Sure is.
And then hopefully the bandwidth can hold all that.
And then my final thought is I need to be streaming on Twitch more. I haven't done it in a few days. You know, and it's just, you know, just real life gets in the way. I do it where I can, though. You know, it happens. But then I'll be like, oh, I'm going to get sucked into another MMO or another Facebook game or something like that. And then it's like, whoops, I haven't been streaming lately. Oops, my bad. Anyway, but we will be back in 7 days. That's the one thing we will be doing, as we always do. Another episode of OLR in seven days. Dark Sakura, I think, is still working next week, so she won't be here. But we will have you guys here. And who knows? Maybe we'll try to find a fun guest to bring us to. That was a lot of fun with Delvin last week. So we'll hopefully have some more third chairs sitting in with us in the coming week. Anyway, that's going to do it for another episode of OLR. Thanks for being here, and we'll see you next time. Have a great week. Happy gaming.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.